The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Thursday, August 23rd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police say a second teen has been arrested in the slaying of an incoming freshman scheduled to compete in track and field for Penn State. 16-year-old Terrence Small was arrested Wednesday on the 2500 block of Carlisle. The other suspect, 15-year-old Byron Vincent, was taken into custody earlier in the day. Both are charged with murder in the shooting death of 18-year-old Christian Marsh of West Oak Lane. Police say it started with an attempted break-in of the Marsh home on the 1800 block of East Astoria Street about 9:40 p.m. on August 13th. Police say Marsh confronted the would-be robbers later when he left his house. They were waiting for him in the driveway. Philadelphia Police Lieutenant Norman Davenport says there was not a struggle, not a fight. This was clearly a case of murder. They took the kid actually back into like an alley, put a gun to his head, and shot him in the head.
They assassinated him.
Yep. Davenport says that there was some sort of acquaintance between Marsh and the offenders, but the nature of the relationship is unclear. When police arrived to the shooting scene, they found Marsh in a rear driveway suffering from one gunshot wound to the head. The teen was taken to Einstein Medical Center in critical condition. He died the next day. Marsh was beloved in the track and field community, considered one of the fastest sprinters in the state, and had earned a partial scholarship to Penn State. Jackson Duncan, the founder of Focused Athletics, a nonprofit that helps inner city high school athletes, said Marsh was one of the organization's first students in 2015. He did his SATs. He went to school. He got good grades. He took care of his teammates. The kid did everything right. For him to end like this is heartbreaking, he said. Philadelphia police are investigating a shooting that left two men dead in the city's Kensington section. Police say they are searching for two suspects. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Richard Ross said it's amazing more people weren't hit during the gunfire. About 30 shell casings were found outside of the corner store at H and Thayer Streets Wednesday night. A 22-year-old store clerk and a 37-year-old man were outside of the store when a gold van rolled up to the intersection, according to a witness. Police say two suspects, one carrying an assault rifle and the other holding a semi-automatic handgun, unleashed a flurry of bullets. The carnage was apparently all caught on surveillance cameras. Commissioner Ross said it appears at least one of the two victims was targeted, but the motive remains unclear.
Is it just me, or are we having like full-blown gun battles as of late?
And they said, actually, it's pretty concerning, the violence among teens in the city. They said that it does increase in the summertime, obviously, when the kids are off, which is why there are a lot of organizations that try to keep the kids active during the summertime. But, yeah, they said it's increased a lot, and in teens especially.
Yes.
Terrible. Crews from Philadelphia Gas Works responded to a leak from a ruptured natural gas line in Philadelphia's Northern Liberty neighborhood. The leak was discovered in the 1100 block of North 3rd Street about 1:30 this morning. Neighbors reported smelling gas in the area and called authorities. An 8-inch line along the sidewalk broke, sending natural gas into the air. Despite the leak, there are no reports of evacuations in the area. However, there are some closures on the roads. All right, let's do sports this morning.
Sacks are yummy.
Ryan Zimmerman hit a two-run walk-off home run with two outs in the ninth inning to lift the Nationals over the Phillies 8-7 last night in Washington. Soto's two-out double against Sir Anthony Dominguez set up Zimmerman, whose drive landed just above the right field wall and required video review before umpires confirmed the home run. Michael Franco, Justin Bour, and Cesar Hernandez hit home runs for the Phillies, who led 7-5 in the seventh. They have lost 4 in a row and 9 of 13 and fell 3 games behind National League leading Atlanta. The series against the Nats wraps up this afternoon, and two of the best pitchers in the National League will face each other. Aaron Nola will go for the Phillies, while Max Scherzer gets the start for the Nats. Game time is at 1 o'clock. The NFL's competition committee issued a clarification to its controversial helmet rule, but made no substantive changes to that rule. According to the NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Troy Vincent, the committee resolved that there will be no changes to the rule as approved by clubs this spring, which includes no additional use of instant replay. But the committee also determined that the inadvertent or incidental contact with the helmet and or face mask is not a foul. The Eagles continue their preseason tonight with a game in Cleveland against the Browns, not the Cavaliers.
Temps.
And kickoff is at kickoff is at 8 o'clock. And those Eagles are still the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's Matt for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Waiting for the sun to make its appearance on the horizon, bringing us a brand new day. Like I said, weather-wise is going to cooperate, and we got some things going on today's program. We will have joining us our good friend Bert Kreischer. Bert had his Netflix, or has his Netflix special coming out tomorrow, and it was filmed here in Philadelphia at the Trocadero.
Did you look at the trailer?
I did not.
The way they have the truck rigged up for this, the way they did it, and a second stage off in the main stage.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It looks okay. Really cool.
Yeah, he was very concerned about the layout of the venue. And
he thought he was
them,
up too high.
Yeah, had them build
another stage.
Yeah. And
they did a great job.
It worked out for him. I did see the promo photo for it. It's just a close-up of his exposed belly.
He's shirtless, apparently, through the entire thing.
He's a nut.
I forget what he posted. He posts all the time on social media, but I was laughing out loud at some of the stuff that he was putting up there. And his kids yelling at him to get off of Instagram.
He lives in his pool. If you follow him on Instagram, yes. He is in his pool constantly. It's like a manatee with a beard.
And let us not forget, he's Kathy's godfather.
Yes. Right.
From the quinceañera.
God, I hope he invites me to his pool.
So he'll be on the show a little after 9 o'clock. Before that, we will have Ted McGinley.
The Ted McGinley. We know Ted McGinley.
Yeah, and if you don't know the name, you certainly know the man because he's Stan Gable in Revenge of the Nerds. He's the main nemesis in Revenge of the Nerds. He was in Married with Children.
Happy Days.
Yeah.
Dynasty. On and on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he guested it on Perfect Strangers.
Yeah.
If there was a sitcom on in the 70s, he was on it.
And he gets it. He gets who he is. He's that guy. He's great. So he's got a movie which opens tomorrow. It's called AXL. And we'll talk to him a little later this morning. And then I'm not even going to try this. From the Philadelphia Union, Harris, Casey.
Yeah, I don't know.
The last name is very difficult to pronounce.
Apparently
you said it correct yesterday. Marissa said, very good.
To you, I did?
Casey, yeah.
It's Round Mushmore.
Meningitis.
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 Anyhow, the Union are on a bit of a tear right now, and so he's going to pop in today. We haven't had a chance to meet him, so we're going to say hello, and we'll get the official pronunciation from him.
Yes, Mr.
Of
Meningitis.
His last name. So they are playing New England on Saturday, by the way. So he's a midfielder, and he'll be stopping by this morning, which is pretty cool. So he was born in Sarajevo. Sarajevo, Herzegovina. So we'll ask him about all that stuff, too. So those things are taking place today. Today, we're getting set for our Bitch Box Party, Kathy's Bitch Box Part 2, and the sorority Zeta Eta Pi get-together tonight at Harris. We're all out of invites. Sorry about that. But we are excited for the event this evening. And I'll tell you about also Marissa's back-to-back events. So she's doing that with us. And then after that, you might have to leave a couple minutes early in order to make it to Barnaby's in Havertown.
Yes.
For another Miller Lite London Calling with the Green Legion, an opportunity for you to win a trip to join us in London in October. So make sure you stop by there from 7 to 9 that Marissa will be at, 8 to 10 that Marissa will be at Barnaby's in Havertown. So make plans, all right? We're going to take a quick break, come back in a second. Entertainment Report, Stupid Questions on the way next. You know that, so we'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, gang, it's Preston. Listen, these days, you know how it is. You can get practically everything you want on demand. I mean, it's like our podcast. You listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. But did you know that you can even get postage on demand? Hey, all you need is Stamps.com. What is that? Well, I'm here to tell you, friends, with Stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office and do it right from your desk. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just click, you print, you mail, and you're done, my friend. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale so you can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every single time. Here's what you got to do to get it all, gang. Right now, use Gadzooks for a special free offer. They have a four-week trial that includes postage and the digital scale. So don't wait on this. You want to check it out now. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the word Gadzooks. Once again, that's Stamps.com and enter Gadzooks. Check this out.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Alrighty, so today's stupid question will get you a pair of tickets for Tom Segura, who's going to be playing three separate shows at the Miriam Theater November 16th, 17th. It's a 10 p.m. show on the 17th that was just added. Question for... Where's...
What? Oh,
come on. Wait, come on.
What the hell is going on here?
This is ridiculous.
Hey. What is going on here?
This is goddamn ridiculous.
No, I found it. I was looking for the stupid question. I thought I misplaced it. And this is a very clever one, I think. In the film The Dark Knight, Bruce Wayne drives what model of Lamborghini?
Mm-hmm.
215-263 WMMR in The Dark Knight in the film.
All right, I'm going to go for it.
Bruce Wayne drives what model of Lamborghini? 215-263 WMMR is the number. Am I waiting to see your answer? I don't even know what that says,
okay.
But that's incorrect.
All right.
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. No, that's an older model.
Okay.
All right, 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Today is Thursday, August 23rd. Birthdays, let's go through those. It is Julian Casablancas' birthday today.
Okay.
He's lead singer of The Strokes, and it's a big one for him, a milestone birthday. He's 40 years old today.
Who's the other dude in the band that was... with Drew Barrymore, right? Fabrizio from Mago.
Moretti.
Fabrizio Moretti.
Yeah.
That is his name.
Okay.
Yeah. So Julian Casablancas is 40 today. Also, another birthday in the world of rock and a guy that we know fairly well, Dean DeLeo, guitarist of Stone Temple Pilots. At the MMRBQ, I gave him a shirt with Charles Nelson Reilly on it.
Hey, you made his day.
He gave me a big hug. He was pretty excited about
it. Who wouldn't want one?
So he's 57.
Was it him or his brother that there were all those accusations from him?
It was against Dean.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I haven't heard any more since that first bit of rumbling.
Neither have I.
I don't know where that stands.
I wonder if that went away.
At this point. So he's 57. Another guy with Philly ties, although you'd be hard-pressed to see any evidence of it, Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
All right, well. He's also celebrating his 40th birthday today.
He did. He was cheering for the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl.
Big whoop.
And, well,
yeah, exactly.
What, Steve?
Yeah. Exactly.
No.
What?
What I really took away from that was that he wasn't at some, like, fancy party. He was at home. With his family.
Where no one could see it.
It was on video. So somebody, you know, brought that to my attention. Like, that guy could have been anywhere doing anything, you know, for the biggest football game of the year. So he chose to watch it at home.
He made the extra effort to sit on his own couch.
Exactly.
He's left Philly in the dust, man, you know?
He spoke to the Eagles before the big game. Okay.
Big whoop.
So Kobe is celebrating his 40th today. Scott Kahn, James Kahn's son, and a successful actor in his own right.
He's also a dwarf.
Varsity's very short.
He is very short. He's a good actor, though. Well, I think he's very charismatic.
I like him in the Oceans movies.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Is he in
good.
Hawaii 5-0?
He is. He plays Dano.
Okay. How tall is he, by the way?
He's 4'11".
Nice. He's a shorter guy, definitely. You can tell he's an Entourage, Gone in 60 Seconds, Varsity Blues. He's 42 today. Ray Park, stuntman and actor, played Darth Maul in Star Wars Episode 1 and also Toad in X-Men. I thought he was great as Toad.
He was really good.
Yeah.
Got to meet him. Couldn't have been a nicer guy.
He's 44 years old. Jay Moore, actor and comedian.
Yes.
Former SNL member, Jerry Maguire, and Last Comic Standing, a few of his
credits.
I think is he still in the midst of, or did it just wrap up a really acrimonious divorce with Nikki Cox?
It just wrapped up.
Just wrapped up.
Yeah, yeah. Like last week, I think it was finalized.
I find him to be a very engaging, a funny guy. He doesn't hold anything in. That marriage really, I think, took a lot out of him.
Yep. He's 48 today. Actress Shelley Long has her birthday. Cheers is where she shot to fame. She's 69 today. She was a spot-on Carol Brady in the Brady Bunch.
She's great.
Too.
She's so good. And Preston, over the weekend, she was on an episode of The Love Boat.
Was she?
She must have been like 19 years old.
God, man. Is she still acting, Nick? Do you see anything?
Oh, yeah. She does Modern Family episodes. She plays Ed O'Neill's ex-wife.
And it's hilarious.
So, yeah, she's funny in that. And then we had her on a year or two ago. But I don't remember what she was promoting.
Was it a made-for-TV movie or something?
It might have been, yeah. And I asked her, because Cheers is my favorite show of all time, I asked her if she ever watched old episodes of Cheers, and she just flat out said, no.
No? Oh, wow.
She should, because comedically, she's as good as it gets.
That's what my mentality was as well.
There's a scene from Cheers that I go back to all the time when she and Sam are arguing, and she slaps Sam, and he just smacks her right back.
What?
Without hesitation. It's right, like, bang, bang. And she's like, what? And then she hits him back, and he goes, bang, bang.
And it's real, right? I mean,
they
hit each other in that scene.
Yes.
They weren't too fond of each other during the show.
Oh, really?
Really?
Okay.
I hated her character. I hated her character. In fact, I didn't like the name Diane.
Okay.
And then I met my wife, whose name is Diane.
That's funny. Yeah.
I actually loved her. Her as the actress, I thought she was, sexy, the smart, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I did love Kirstie Alley, too.
Mm-hmm. So Shelley is 69 today. And then the last birthday I see, I still think one of the sexiest women to ever grace a television screen, Barbara Eden.
Oh, my God.
Is 87 today. And, of course, she was Jeannie on I Dream of Jeannie.
And the slalom that the censors had to do to get her in that costume on TV at the time.
Yeah.
They had to make sure her navel was never seen.
Ridiculous.
What always used to kill me, even as a kid, even as a prepubescent kid, I was like, why is Tony going out on dates with these other... He's got a genie at home that looks like that!
And calls him master! And does anything and everything of his heart's desire.
Dear Christ! I know it would be an unpleasant show to watch if he just let go into his own devices.
Yeah.
But Jesus... it's almost like they weren't even trying to be real.
It's like he was trying to—he was beating her away with his genie. Leave me alone, alone. You know. And,
what?
Yeah, I dug her bottle that she lived in.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
They would have the interior of it, which would shrink and go inside.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Maybe that's where your love of bedrooms came from. Impressed, right?
An entire room that's just a bed and the
helps.
Yeah, and all that. No, Barbara Eden is 87. Oh, and one last birthday. It's Kristen Wiig's birthday.
Again, God somebody bless her, man.
Texted in to let us know.
I'm glad that she didn't just do it all in one day.
Yeah. These are your birthdays. Let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. In the film The Dark Knight, Bruce Wayne drives what model of Lamborghini? 215-263-WMMR, our number. And I will go to, let's go to Drew, see if Drew knows the answer. Hey, Drew, good morning.
I'm not licensed in your state.
Drew, what model Lamborghini is it?
It's the Murcielago.
Murcielago. Yes. And I'll tell you why.
What's it going to take to put you in one of these vehicles?
Murcielago is the Spanish word for bat.
Is that right?
How's about that?
That is a great little piece of trivia. It's a beautiful car.
Isn't that interesting? So that's why I thought it was kind of a clever question to go with this morning. All right, Drew, we're going to set you up with a pair of tickets as Live Nation presents the talented Tom Segura, the hilarious comedian, with a new Netflix special, Mostly Stories. And Tom brings three shows to the Merriam Theater. November 16th and 17th, a 10 p.m. show will be on the 17th. That was just at it. You can get tickets at KimmelCenter.org or at the Kimmel Center box office. All right, we'll start with the story that's kind of been dominating things in the entertainment realm for a little bit. Mira Sorvino is speaking out on the accusations leveled against her friend and fellow Me Too warrior,
Aja Argento. We've talked about this the past few days. She has been accused of sexually assaulting a minor in 2013, then paying off for $380,000. Allegations have first surfaced in a blistering New York Times report. Now Servino is responding to the news that Argento may have been a perpetrator herself. And by the way, they are both accusers of Harvey Weinstein, if you recall. She has said, I have been heartsick over the recent allegations against Aja Argento. Time will clarify things and perhaps she will be exonerated. But if true, there is no lens that makes it better. She wrote this in a statement posted early yesterday morning. Child sexual assault is a heinous crime and is against all that I and the Me Too movement stand for, she had written.
So I was checking on TMZ yesterday. They had a text exchange.
I have that.
Yeah.
Okay. Argento formally denied that the assault occurred, saying that she never had sex with Jimmy Bennett when he was a minor or since. He was 17. She was 37 when the alleged attack occurred. She also insisted that her late boyfriend, Anthony Bourdain, insisted on the payout. Now, texts leaked to TMZ, as Steve had said, appear to tell a different story. In a message that TMZ claims is from Argento to an unnamed friend, she admits to having sex with Bennett but says she didn't realize he was underage. The text read, I had sex with him and it felt weird. I didn't know he was a minor until the shakedown letter. The public knows nothing, only what the New York Times wrote, which is one-sided. The shakedown letter, the horny kid jumped me, she wrote. The website also published a selfie of them shirtless in bed. Of the picture, the alleged text reads, you can see my boobs, that's all. It doesn't mean S. He is standing up. Bennett issued a statement via his attorney, Gordon K. Satro, on Wednesday. And the statement said, I did not initially speak about my story because I chose to handle it in private with the person who wronged me. My trauma resurfaced as she came out as a victim herself. And this is in part, I'm reading the statement. As I was underage at the when the event took place, and I tried to seek justice in a way that made sense to me at the time because I was not ready to deal with the ramifications of my story becoming public. At the time, I believe there was still a stigma to being in the situation as a male in our society.
So what was the flashpoint of this getting out into the news?
Getting out in the news, I don't know.
Yeah.
TMZ somehow, or the New York Times somehow or another stumbled across it. But
yeah.
I don't know where and when they picked up on this because apparently it was handled privately. And
it was done.
And, you know, it was finished. So I don't know. I don't know if his side may have leaked it or she. I have no idea.
Guys, after all the stuff that I've read about this story, I have yet to determine where it exactly came from.
He confirmed that despite Argento's denials to the contrary, that they did have sex when he was a minor. He said, I've had to overcome many adversities in my life, and this is another that I will deal with in time. I would like to move past this event in my life, and today I choose to move forward no longer in silence.
I realize I recognize this kid. He's been in a couple of things. He'll pop up from time to time.
Yeah.
And I'm more familiar with him as a younger kid than his older stuff.
Yeah. Somebody had texted in, and I didn't check the validity of it or not, but apparently they had said that he played the young James Tiberius Kirk in that first Star Trek film that J.J. Abrams did.
Who drives the Corvette up to the cliff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know him otherwise, but that's what I had read. So anyhow, we'll see where this story goes. It continues. Buoyed by the sale of Casamigos Tequila, George Clooney topped Forbes list of the highest paid actors in 2017.
See, when I see this list, though, I think you should be the highest paid for acting.
I agree.
To just simply call you the highest paid because your other business ventures prove profitable is bull.
Well, this is what they do at Forbes. Right. Between June 1st, 2017 and June 1st of this year, Clooney made $239 million, more money than any other actor has ever. Forbes found out. So he's the richest actor of all time.
You must be the best actor ever.
Or at least for a year.
Yeah.
Don't cry for anyone else in Hollywood, though. Dwayne The Rock Johnson came in number two. With an estimated $124 million pre-taxes.
The thing with Dwayne Johnson, man, it seems every other month a new Dwayne Johnson movie's coming out.
He is stumbling into oversaturation territory.
He's got to watch it. And it's like Skyscraper didn't do all that well. It did huge in China.
Yep. He needs to reel back a little bit.
But it did okay here. I think a little bit of distance will lend enchantment, as they say.
Much of his success was thanks to Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Robert Downey Jr. rounded out the top three. He made $81 million. All told, the top 10 made $748.5 million between those dates before fees and taxes. Top earning female stars earned $186 million in the same period, or just one quarter of their male cohort's paydays. But as you said, it's not just acting. It's their other business ventures. Other stuff.
Well, Scarlett Johansson, well, I think, leads the list. The Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The franchise has been really good to a lot of actors.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what Jon Favreau's pulling in as a producer.
He is producer on he's associated with many of these films.
Mm-hmm. Three of the top 10 are from the Marvel Universe, because Chris Hemsworth is fourth, and number 10 is Chris Evans.
Yeah.
And then you've got some others in the top 10. I don't have the breakdown of all the money and everything, but Jackie Chan is number 5. Will Smith is 6. Who's the, I don't know who this guy is. I only have the pictures. I don't have the damn names.
What?
They didn't have a regular list.
Who
that guy?
Right next to Farrah Abraham there.
No, that's not Farrah Abraham. Adam Sandler is 8th. I don't know who that is.
Can I see?
I don't know who these two guys are.
I don't even know who the hell you are.
I can't see without my glasses.
You got to see. Put on his glasses.
While you're looking at that.
I'm reading specs.
It's funny because George Clooney didn't have any real acting credits last year. He was in two Nespresso commercials in 2016 and 2017. But his last movie was that Money Monster movie with Julia Roberts, and that was a bomb.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it came and went, and that was not a box office success. And his next acting project is Catch 22,
okay,
which is a TV miniseries.
I have no idea, Preston.
Yeah, I don't know who those guys are. All right, it doesn't matter.
They're losers.
They're super-duper rich people, and we'll never meet them, and
go to hell.
They'll never give us any money. Moving along, Kim Kardashian is dishing up yet another juicy helping of beef for sister Kourtney in a sneak peek of Sunday's Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Ooh, it's going to be so saucy. I am totally planning on not watching.
In the clip, Kim and Khloe get together to talk smack and add another layer to their feud with Kourtney. So Khloe says, so I've missed a call from Kourt.
I missed a call from Kourt.
I call her back and she's like, this isn't to criticize you or anything like that. Me and Kendall were talking about you. And she goes, we're really scared about how your life is going to turn out.
I don't know. It just made me feel weird.
You know what? I'm not even going any further than this.
Oh, are you sure?
Other than that one of them, Kim says something. Do you think it's like a cry for help, a cry for attention? Is she the new Rob?
There's the statement.
Dun, dun, dun.
When their own family, when they call, it's like being called a Munson.
Yeah.
You know, who's the new Rob? Yeah. You know?
Exactly. You know, so.
You're just a Rob. How dare you?
That's throwing Rob under the bus. That's not cool.
Yeah.
To do that to your own sibling.
You're simultaneously getting, you know, two people.
Rob is a bus.
Yeah.
All right. On to bigger stars. The guy who played Robbie Rotten in Lazy Town.
They
passed away.
And you and I.
I know. This is sad.
I watched that show. It was just a bizarre guilty pleasure.
Yeah. It had flavors of H.R. Puff and stuff.
Sid Marty Krofft. Exactly.
And that's kind of why I liked it. And it's sad.
And because it
didn't run very long.
No, but it felt real to me.
Did it feel real to you? Icelandic actor Stefan Karl Stefansson played Robbie Rotten. Died. He had cancer. It's sad. He was 43.
A very rare form of cancer,
yeah,
apparently.
Bile duct cancer.
Yeah.
What the hell?
His wife announced on Facebook that he died this past Tuesday. He was a trained stage actor and puppeteer, but he was best known for Lazy Town, where his junk food munching villain was pitted against child heroine Stephanie and fitness loving hero Sportacus. The Iceland Maid Show.
We talked to Sportacus one time.
Yeah, a mix of animation, live action, and CGI ran between 2004 and 2007, and from 2013 to 2014.
The show is about getting kids active, but what started to happen is that Kathy, moms at home got turned on by Sportacus, so the show really started to do really well in the ratings.
Yeah, the guy was in great shape.
Yeah, so Sportacus was getting the mom's all hot and horny.
That's sad to hear. Despite fans' most earnest wishes to the contrary, Idris Elba will not be taking on the role of James Bond. While attending the premiere of his new film, Yardy, he was repeatedly asked if he'd succeed Daniel Craig as 007, but he couldn't have been clear, repeatedly saying no, and then leaving the conversation. Today also aired footage of a sit-down in which he was pressed, and Elba firmly denied it. He said, I don't want to talk about it, honestly. So he's done. He's not doing it. He can say no only so many times.
And I'm glad. As a Bond fan, and he could easily do it, I think the worst insult to a guy as capable and as charismatic as Idris Elba would be to reduce him to, you're the black James Bond.
Okay. Much of the hoopla surrounding the possibility involves the fact that Elba is black. Elba himself addressed the issue, saying that if he ever earned the role, he wouldn't want race to be the focus. He said Sean Connery wasn't the Scottish James Bond.
Exactly.
Daniel Craig wasn't the blue-eyed James Bond. So if I played him, I don't want to be called the black James Bond. Rumors of his future as Bond have been spreading for years. And back in the day when they first popped up, he said, yeah, absolutely, I'd love to do it. Craig will reprise the role in Bond 25, which is set to hit theaters in 2019. It's definitely going to be his last run at it. He wanted to quit after the last one.
You know what happens, though? The funny thing. You hear the click of the pen and the checkbook comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And then all bets are off.
So we'll see how that movie turns out.
Yeah.
Tara Reid thanked her fans for their support after she cut her recent Sharknado tour short. Following a series of bizarre interviews, she added that she is in great spirits. She said, I'd like to thank my fans from the depths of my soul for their continued support, which has made this Sharknado my most successful one yet. She said, we worked harder than ever on this film and also the promotion of the film. Fans became concerned after she slurred her way through interviews on a couple of different television channels. But Reid insisted in her statement that her appearances were successful. And she said, while it's unfortunate to see some of the recent negative press following a successful week of promoting and supporting the film, I am happy to film. I am happy to. Come on. Yeah. I'm happy to know that.
It's Sharknado.
It's barely scotch tape. I'm happy to know that my fans continue to stand by me. This is for them. So she says she's doing just fine.
Do we have audio of this interview?
Do we?
I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You know what it is? And when I heard it initially, a lot of it I attributed to, or at least the chunk I heard, I didn't hear the whole thing, the delay that occurs when you have someone who's, you know, away.
All right, here we go.
Son, you guys, honestly, is beyond that. It's my favorite one. It's so ridiculous. It's so bad that it's good. And it's just, I mean, we've already, like, gone out of space. I already had a baby instead of a shark. I mean, we've done everything. Like, so you thought, like, how can we top this one off? And they're like, I got it. Let's time travel.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, we're going to time travel. One day, we're with George Washington. The next day, we're with dinosaurs. I'm with a pterodactyl. I name it Tara. I mean, it's just out of control.
Like, she sounds a little buzzed.
She does.
She's not finishing her pronunciations.
There is an actress. I'm trying to find her name. She plays a junkie on Orange is the New Black. It sounds just like that.
Really?
Oh. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Wait, she's auditioning for Orange is the New Black.
All right, so I stopped watching Orange is the New Black.
Remember the girl? She's like a...
Pennsyltucky?
Yeah, Pennsyltucky.
That chick, yeah.
It sounds like her.
Uh-huh.
So I did watch the most recent Sharknado. It is beyond over the top.
Yeah.
I didn't find it as entertaining. Because I am not a big fan of forced cult movies.
Right.
But the zeal with which they approach it
is
fun. This one was just so beyond that it didn't quite click for me.
Hey, when did Van Wilder come out?
98?
2002.
Like, yeah. Oh my God, I'm way off.
Because I hung out with her for a little while at the press junket down in Florida. She was so pretty.
Yes.
I mean, just so pretty.
Do you remember
she was a partier, definitely. You remember
she fell in with that whole group with the Paris Hiltons and the Lindsay Lohans and the Samantha Ronsteins.
Yeah, the hard partiers.
Yeah.
Most definitely. All right, Meghan Markle's family drama continues in a new interview. Her estranged brother, Thomas Markle Jr.
This is the pot grower?
Claims Prince Harry is to blame for the Duchess's split from their father.
Oh.
He said no father-daughter relationship should be like this. I feel for him because of how strong their relationship was and what it's become now.
I miss my little girl.
He said that's got to hurt anybody. It's not the Meghan I remember. The Meg I remember was very caring, and she cared about everybody. That was important to her. He said, since Hollywood and being on that show, being a celebrity has changed her. Maybe she feels she is above everybody. Maybe even more now.
She thinks she's better than we are.
But if she wasn't with Prince Harry right now, even if she was still on Suits right now, she would have stopped what she was doing and to go and visit him and make sure he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
What a nightmare.
Exactly.
It's always the case. You always got that. It's the Roger Clinton syndrome. Who was with Carter? Billy?
Yeah, Billy Bob Carter. Yeah. And by the way, wouldn't you think, though, I mean.
Yeah.
if they did have a good relationship initially, that the family, even though quote unquote commoners, would somewhat integrate in with the royals and have.
I'd want to.
Yeah,
you know,
isn't there some residual love that comes your way?
Yeah,
as
yeah,
long like, as you just kind of.
I think if you were to
walk the line,
go along to get along.
Yeah.
Just don't create. Well, I'm sure. I'm sure they'd let him into the kitchen.
I think I'd straighten up.
Go around back. Yeah, right. Reagan's father will be there.
I'd be okay with going around back.
Sure.
I'd be quite all right.
Oh, for God's sakes, absolutely.
And she's the one who married into royalty. Like, she wins.
Yeah.
She's on the way up. You guys are not.
Yeah. All right.
You think you're better than us?
How about this, ma'am? Warner Brothers Television and CBS announced it. It's official. The Big Bang Theory will end its run May of next year, making it the longest-running multi-camera series in television history.
That's wild.
Yeah. The show debuted in 2007. It has earned 52 Emmy nominations and 10 wins, and will end after 12 seasons and 279 episodes under its belt.
Initially, when the show first premiered, I was a little reticent to get on board, and then slowly they got me with their attention to geek detail.
Yeah.
And then it's actually a funny show. It's a well-written show. The ensemble's really good. At this point, though, you know, they and it happens with a lot of shows like this. They've just it's just run its course.
Sure. They've, I mean,
the dynamics have all been explored.
12 seasons.
Yeah.
You run out of material
and
eventually.
Besides that, there's young Sheldon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which can go into a whole other realm of those characters. Let's see. The Los Angeles County DA is investigating a new assault case against Kevin Spacey.
Oh, my God.
According to The Hollywood Reporter. Separately, an investigation was launched in London into reports of assaults issued by three separate men last month. Other investigations are ongoing in L.A., Nantucket, and London. Last year, it was Anthony Rapp who was the first to report an attempted assault by Spacey when he was just 14. So several other people have come forward, and here's some more for you.
Apparently, when he was in charge in London, when he was, I guess, in charge of the Royal Theater, or was it that?
I forgot which one it was, but
the Globe or whatever. Yeah. Whatever he was doing, he was having a good old time.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh yes, Us Weekly is on the case of Ben Affleck.
Yes,
reportedly getting hot and heavy with a 22-year-old Playboy model named Shauna Sexton. We've talked about the last few days, and many have wondered what does the mother of his children think about that. A source close to Jennifer Garner says that she's taking it in stride. While she's not pleased, she certainly is not shocked. This, according to an insider, says she's not his babysitter. She just wants to protect the kids, but she does wish Ben would keep his life more private.
Do you want me to give you the latest in that scenario?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Garner staged an intervention for him yesterday afternoon.
What?
Yes, an intervention, and got him, and he apparently willingly and sort of eagerly said, "You're right." And so he checked himself into, if you check TMZ, checked himself into rehab with Jennifer Garner, went over. They had a long heart-to-heart, and she seems like a sweetheart who really cares. And that was the last I heard. And
wow. Nick, if you do it, I have seen nothing of that. Steve, Scoop. Morrison. Yeah, checks into rehab after intervention with Jennifer Garner and sober coach. It says it right here in Us News.
Byline, Steve Morris.
Right. Wow. You've been moonlighting, busy. Steve?
I want to be a cub reporter. I look up to you as my creative muse.
Wow. Okay. Well, interesting. I didn't know that he was struggling with those issues still.
The booze has always been an issue. He's also a bit of a gambling addict. And, you know, it's but how cool of her to step in, and you know she loves this man, his father of her children.
Yeah, here we go. You want the official story?
Please.
This is from TMZ. Jennifer went to Ben's Pacific Palisades home Wednesday afternoon to sit down with her estranged husband, begging him to get help. Ben didn't need begging; he knows that he needs help and was receptive. Jen and Ben drove off at around 6 p.m. from the house, and sources say the destination is a rehab facility. One source says Ben will enter a facility in L.A. County. And they just found out that they stopped at a Jack in the Box on the route to the rehab place.
Bad choice.
Yeah, burgers.
In and out, man. And so there was one on the way. They should have gone there.
You sure there was one on the way?
Pretty sure.
You know, I've never been to Jack in the Box. So
I used to love it.
Oh, my God.
Where I grew up, there were Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
Super Taco was a regular thing for me.
Super Taco?
So, yes. Super Taco. Jack in the Box had killer tacos.
Yep. They also had the Monterey Jack Burger, which is pretty good.
Hey, I went to Del Taco. You ever been to Del Taco?
Sure, I have.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Good.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Taco Bell, essentially.
I haven't been to one in a long time.
What about Pollo Loco? You ever go to one of those?
Yeah.
That's some good stuff.
California? Yeah. Pollo Loco is really good.
I haven't been to any of these.
For fast food.
Start living, baby.
Yep. apparently the tipping point came 2 days ago when Jen saw a pic of Ben grabbing a box from a delivery man, a box filled with beer and liquor.
There you go.
Ben has been to rehab before, back in 2001 for alcohol. He also went to rehab last December. So this is interesting. Where would she see pictures of him?
Probably on TMZ.
Right?
Yeah. You know?
She doesn't seem like the type, you know, that would go on these gossip sites and take a look. Maybe somebody
a friend or somebody might have passed it along.
Okay.
But that's kudos to her. I wish the best for him. And I think I wish someone could get this message to him. He's my favorite on-screen Batman.
Please.
I think that would mean a lot to him.
If you know that, it may just be what he needs to get through this.
Well, I have a feeling it will make a difference.
Yeah.
You want to go visit him?
I would love
to. In rehab?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll stay on top of that story.
Ben?
Hey, for the second year in a row, the Video Music Awards hit the skids. The ceremony was a mix with J-Lo delivering a widely praised performance, proving once again that she is still queen, while Madonna delivered a horrific self-referential monologue about Aretha Franklin. But eyeballs were elsewhere. According to Deadline, which reports this year's viewership fell 8% after last year's all-time low.
So it went lower than the lowest. As I looked at more pictures of Madonna at the MTV Music Awards, she looked like a character from The Dark Crystal.
Yeah, I would agree.
She's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Right. Come on. The question is, did they still make money on it?
Well,
probably.
But they're making less, and they also ran across multiple networks.
Yeah. So let's see. What other story do I have for you? Oh, so the author of the very successful Crazy Rich Asians, a guy named Kevin Kwan.
Yes.
Is facing up to 3 years in jail in his native Singapore.
For what?
He is accused of avoiding compulsory military service. Kwan, would that be like Israel where you have to serve like 2 years no matter what? Kwan is not among the cast and crew attending the theatrical release of Crazy Rich Asians in Singapore. The film, directed by John M. Chu, is considered a breakthrough for diversity in Hollywood. Meanwhile, a sequel to the film is reportedly in development at Warner Brothers, but he faces some jail time, which is pretty wild.
The female lead in that movie is the mother from the series Fresh Off the Boat.
Okay.
Very attractive.
All right, we're ready for clips here, folks.
Ooh, yeah.
We're going to get into those now. Trial and Error is a show that follows an ambitious New York defense lawyer who is moved to a small town where he and his motley crew of a legal team solve ridiculous murders. Here, show star Stephen Boyer talks about the cast's relationship with the writers.
He really had a lot of freedom to improvise. The writers gave us just a lot of leeway because once they kind of saw our strengths, they would like write to our strengths.
I don't think I want to see it.
I watched the first season of this, and it was hilarious. But part of the reason why it was hilarious was that John Lithgow was on.
Well, it's the one where he's the murderer.
He's the murderer.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Then it is actually pretty good.
But I think in second season, Steve Lithgow is no longer a part.
Well, that's going to be an issue then.
Yeah.
A new episode of Trial and Error is tonight, 9 o'clock on NBC. Let's do the next clip. Snowfall. This drama set in the beginning of the crack cocaine epidemic in Los Angeles. And your show co-creator and executive producer John Singleton explains his thought process in creating the show.
I got to get my own show. Like, what do I know? I know South Central Los Angeles. So I was like, I got to do something that is with various characters. And so, and I love Game of Thrones, so I kind of call this the ghetto Game of Thrones.
I don't think I want to see it.
And you can catch a new episode of Snowfall tonight, 10 o'clock on FX. We had John Singleton here in the studio one time.
Yeah.
Cool guy.
We brought up the whole thing about smelling the D
to
check for a guy's infidelity.
Yeah, it was in a movie, I think, called Baby Boy.
Yeah.
Was
sure.
It? Yeah.
All right. And that is what I got for you in the Entertainment Report this morning. Let's take a quick break because we got a lot of guests on the show today. I'll tell you about them all when we return, but stay with us. It's going to be a beautiful day. Beautiful weather, by the way. 79 degrees, low humidity, sunshine. You're going to love it. We'll be back in a sec.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
He was at Costco the other day.
Yes.
Doing some shopping with family. It's always a family event. We always go as a family.
It's like when the Bradys go to Sears.
Well, because you can get they run off and get samples and stuff while Shell and I are shopping. But while I was there, They had a huge display of Halloween costumes that are already up ready to go. So that has begun.
Well, okay.
What?
So I pre-purchased a whole bunch of Halloween decorations, which are actually in a staging area right now. And I'm planning this weekend or next weekend to start to set up bases and stuff for them.
Yeah. Inside, though.
No, outside.
Oh, my God.
So that, you know...
This is his thing.
But
that's 2 months out.
I know. But I'm going to set.
He's like,
the thing.
I know. They're just bases.
Yeah, I'm going to set the things. I'm setting the things in place that they're going to rest on.
Is this your neighbor's first Halloween with you?
No, they're second.
Oh, this is their second. So they actually,
I tested the waters and put some stuff out, and the neighbors coming by. Oh, that's great. And people have throughout the year been going, love what you did for Halloween.
Yeah.
So well, if you like that. So, but I'm very excited, and we're going to be away for. You talked about the Green Legion and going to England.
Yeah, we come back the day before Halloween.
I want to make sure I can wring every bit of enjoyment out of Halloween.
Well, not only that, have you guys started to think as well about Christmas? Already?
Yes.
No.
Do you know
what?
Let me enjoy the end of the summer.
Yeah.
No. I mean, just listen. I get caught with the gift thing. Terribly bad, and that's why. So here's what I've been doing. I've come across several things that I want to get, and I've mentioned to my wife, and she goes, "Ooh, that'd make a good Christmas gift." And part of me is like, "Yeah, it would." And part of me is like, "Damn it, I got to wait till December before I get that."
I will override.
So I'm sending her items, and but I said, "Can you please? Can you do me a favor and send me the stuff that you want to, so I can start buying that now?
It's
and
a
not
two-way
have to deal
street
with it later on." Yes.
So I've already forced. You know, I'm good with this. I've gotten good by. I just have to. I had to. But she, I already know Maine and about three or four supporting gifts. But we also, since we're in the house and we're doing, you know, stuff with this house. We actually did keep it sort of leaner and meaner last Christmas.
Yeah. I as far as shopping for Christmas for my wife, her birthday's at the end of September, so I got to get through that.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm so excited about her birthday gift. I think I knocked it out of the
park. Out of the park?
Yes.
What is it?
Yes. Yeah, I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
No, I can't. I'll tell you off the air.
All right.
Because I think it was like super thoughtful, and I hope she really likes it.
You're one of the best gift givers I've ever met.
Aw, thanks, man.
You're just very thoughtful in that way.
It's funny, Casey, because I've done that every now and then, knocked out of the park and felt really good about it, but there's a little bit of me that has regret in doing that because then there's always the next one.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I did so great on that one. And I know the next one's going to be a
letdown. You're using it the wrong way.
Yeah.
The way you have to do is go, remember 3 years ago? And shut up.
Well, I don't know if it was you, Casey, or you, Steve, but I now keep notes throughout the year.
I do.
That's the only way that I remember. And I have an app on. I mean,
me too.
Yeah. I use the app on the phone.
Yeah. I got an app.
And it works. And it's just because my memory is terrible. And if I don't write it down right away in the moment. Come December, I'm like, I got no idea. I'm clueless.
Yes, and you hate that. So, again, let's cast this out. I'm glad you're actually mentioning this now, because now would be a perfect time, guys, to start, you know, because we tend to be the less creative.
We're idiots.
So start plying her or him or who's ever in your life for ideas about what they would want for the holidays.
Yes.
And make this a Christmas everyone can enjoy. Yeah. Or Hanukkah or whatever.
I agree. Start asking now.
Now.
Tell me what you want, please. Please just straight
tell
up
me what
tell
you
me.
Want, what you really, really want.
Yes. I got an app. It's called Santa's Bag.
Okay.
And
were you thinking
testicles or
No, I'm just laughing.
Santa's Baby Sack.
I'm just remembering Christmas last year. Somebody do me a favor. Pull up what day of the week Christmas was on, because I'm fairly certain it was on a Monday, because on Sunday I went into a panic because my wife and I had the deal. Okay.
I remember this.
We had the deal.
Yep. What have we been telling you
hey,
for
guess
20
what?
Years?
Guess what?
What? Yeah.
We had the deal.
Oh, and nobody got anything? Anybody?
Well, I panicked and I had to run out of the house real quick maybe I had to go to Wawa or something. Bernard Jewelers is around the corner from my house. And I ran there and bought her a pair of earrings. I was like, it was Christmas Eve, and I didn't have anything, and I just kept thinking, Steve, what's the?
There is no deal.
There is no deal.
There is no deal.
There is no deal.
When you've made a deal with your significant other, remember, there is no deal.
There is
you
no
are
deal.
You are being set up.
Yep.
In fact, pat her down and see if she's wearing a wire.
Mm-hmm. And I ran, and I mean, I was in the store for about 10 to 12 minutes. I mean, it was
did she
that
get
quick.
You something?
Like a T-shirt, not like, you know, she didn't.
But you win.
But I win.
It's not. It's about winning.
It's not a competition, but I won.
Yeah, it's a competition.
I think I read recently that that as far as gifts go, that people like to buy. I'm looking for the article here real quick, saying that people go for gifts that wow rather than satisfy recipients. So it says they choose the wow factor rather than one that somebody's going to get the greatest satisfaction out of. Researchers from the National University of Singapore had apparently gone through this study, and they found that that's what people go for. But I think receivers showed receivers showed no preference for one set or the other, meaning wow factors are just as good as
you need both. You need something that you know that satisfies both deals. But man. Could you imagine, who is it, Kathy, who we would talk, so somebody on the show or somebody's wife or mother or whatever would have their full shopping done for Christmas by the end of August.
Oh, that's my mom.
That's
my mom. I mean, holy F.
I mean, especially after we had all moved out of the house and she had turned my sister's bedroom into her Christmas room.
Yeah.
I love Christmas rooms.
Right? I mean, her dresser was the bow and wrapping paper and tape station. And
I've told you guys this before. I want a wrapping station. One day I'll have a wrapping station in the basement of my home.
Well, you know, you have to get one like Candy Spelling has. She has like
a wrapping room.
Her Christmas and wrapping room is the size of our houses.
Well, okay, I'm not going to be able to have that, but just like a little area where it's, you know, maybe like something falls down out of the wall and it's, you know, where I can lay the presents and then I can roll the rolling paper out.
You got to see
the wrapping paper.
You got to see Claire's. Claire's got these dispensers and these things and, you know.
You pull the ribbon down, you just tie it real quick, a little snip.
Can you believe we're talking about this now?
Bring your presents over.
I think we're so dissatisfied with summer because you see the stuff floating out now about all the pumpkin stuff and all to force autumn and all that crap.
I agree. I saw somebody putting up fall decorations in front of their house already. I'm like, No.
Just
hang on
yet.
A minute.
It's not even Labor Day.
Hang on
not
a
even
minute.
Football season
and
yet.
Definitely don't get to Halloween stuff yet.
Just do what I'm doing. Put up the bases.
Put the bases up.
People can't see the bases.
No, they
don't know what those things are.
We have to. We have started talking about Halloween because my kid's school does trunk or treat now, and that's a big deal. Right. So we really have to
dresses as Eddie Trunk from that metal show?
No. You go to the parking lot, and you dress up your car, and everybody has a theme, and there's a contest.
When does that happen?
Right before Halloween.
All right.
Our family won the contest last year. We won the theme, and it was an idea that I poo-pooed. My wife came up with the idea. I'm like, I don't like it, but she did it anyway, and lo and behold, we won.
Was it Gone Girl?
No, it was not Gone Girl.
It's a good one, though.
No.
I don't know if that was used or not.
It was, you know, the pit in Silence of the Lambs?
Shut up.
No,
what was it?
It was a camp. We had set the trunk like it was a tent and camping. We had a campfire, and we gave away s'mores.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
And so we ended up winning. I don't know why we won, but we now have to defend.
You were the best.
We have to defend our title.
Oh, okay.
Are you excited for I love autumn and I love but I still believe one should finish off the season of summer first.
No, I'm not excited about fall.
Okay.
No,
not at all. In fact, I saw a tree the other day.
I'm a simple man. Mm-hmm.
I saw a tree the other day that looked as if it was starting to turn a little bit red. And I'm like, not yet. Come on, man.
Wait, because you like summer?
Because golf season starts to go away.
But in the fall?
No, you can play, but it just means that winter's right around the corner,
right,
and then
okay.
you can't play.
That's a legitimate reason why you're dissatisfied.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I would say fall is better than
fall
summer.
Fall golf is great, but the days are shorter. It's just better in the summer.
Okay.
Come on, get on the back. You know, you can still play.
And you've been gypped out of it this summer with the weather.
It's
been so wet.
I've been happy with the weather.
So wet.
Oh, so excited.
Preston.
So wet.
What about here? I don't know if anyone's done this. What about golf or treat?
Golf or treat?
You go to each hole, you get some sort of candy or something.
Well, what you do is you have a golf ball and you chip it from 1 yard to the next.
Yeah.
And then you go over to retrieve it. And while you're there, you get some candy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it.
That's a great fundraiser.
Golf retreat.
Golf retreat. All right, we'll think about
use
that.
Use that.
All right, anyhow.
Cure cancer with that.
I just noticed this. I thought, oh,
Wait a second.
We
did the noticer. What are you doing
snuck
to me?
Out like no. a fart you hadn't planned
on. We did the noticer yesterday.
We did it yesterday. Why are we doing it again today?
I didn't mean to do that.
If anything, it's junk drawer time. We do the...
Yeah, try to alternate
Yeah,
those.
We try to alternate.
Because they're pretty much the
to
same
not
thing.
Not be boring.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you doing to me?
I don't know.
Stop the music.
I don't know.
There's an article... Okay, I'll pull me out of the jungle. An article that I saw this morning about self-esteem.
Okay.
We all know how important that is. But
is it?
The study finds, is it what? Oh, is
no,
it
no, of
important?
Course it is. It's very
important.
They
found that the age of what age would you say that is best for self-esteem?
Where you feel most
yeah, confident with who you are. 43?
That's how old I am right now.
No.
I would say.
I'm going to say.
According to researchers.
20.
Oh. I was going
to say in the 20s.
No, I'm saying 50s.
I'm going to say somewhere in your 50s or, yeah. or 60s or 40s or 30s or 20s.
Okay, somewhere
yeah,
in
yeah.
that range.
Exactly.
Between,
range, yeah.
between 20 and 60.
Yeah, between 20 and 80, I think is probably. Probably the time, right?
Or maybe like 6 years old.
I think from birth yeah. till the point at which you are given last rites. Probably in there.
A recent study published finds that age 60 is the best age for self-esteem.
Right.
And the
because the numbers are just good.
The data comes from an analysis of over 190 research articles about self-esteem, which included data from almost 165,000 people. This is a big, big study. They discovered that self-esteem first begins to rise between the ages of 4 and 11, and then it plateaus in the teenage years, so 11 to 15, before increasing substantially until age 30, and then more gradually through middle adulthood before peaking around the age of 60, and that remains stable until you're around 70. So
that's awesome.
That's when you feel
you
most comfortable
to look forward to.
With who you are.
So the reason I even picked a number out, like, you know, going like 50 to yeah. 60 is because of what I see if and when I go to the gym. Like the dudes that like just walk around like naked, they don't care what they, you know, it's not, you know, they don't care what they.
When you go to look at naked old dudes, what age are they?
No, I don't go to look at naked old dudes, but I know for myself, like I try to. Tuck myself into a corner when I need to, like, get changed. And the dudes that, like, don't care and they're like, whatever, and they're freaking, you know, hair drying.
I've seen you naked around here. What are you talking about? You're one of the most... I've found you as have... Really?
Yeah, it's all fake.
Wow. Yeah. I'm shocked at that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But anyhow, okay, well, then that's how you feel.
But giving up, not caring... Oh, no, I shouldn't say giving up. Not caring... can certainly lead to self-esteem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to.
Once you stop caring about what other people think about you, your self-esteem will go up.
I think from 60 to 72, you're more inclined to be comfortable with sharding.
My self-esteem has risen because of Casey, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, we've worked together for 20 years, and over the years, I've watched him admit things about himself that I would never admit, that I would think would be too personal and embarrassing.
You're saying something like this, and you're not giving him a hug, Casey?
Not yet.
And
I'm eating.
And I've learned to be more comfortable with myself because watching Casey, believe it or not.
That's a wonderful thing to say.
I have.
Yeah.
It's the old, like, I try and... Eat while we're on air.
The old saying.
Yeah. The old saying.
I try to have link sauces while we're on the air.
Yo.
I find I'm more eloquent when I'm chomping on a turkey leg.
Easy.
Okay.
What?
It's an everything bagel.
Okay. Oh, okay.
With extra bite.
You already ate the sausage.
ate the sausage. And you guys didn't even know.
Everything in its time.
Did you say extra butter?
Yeah, I was just kidding.
Oh, okay.
All right, anyway.
I forget what I was going to say.
It's okay.
It makes the sausage slide down easier.
So...
Butter does.
So anyhow, but it says after, it says here, it remains stable, self-esteem, until the age of 70. After that, self-esteem begins to drop off. It actually becomes lowest around the age 90.
When you're back in diapers.
Which is, that's kind of sad.
Well,
to be honest.
But yeah, we've heard, listen, these things are always, and I understand this is a large group that was sampled, mm-hmm. but I think it all depends. My dad's self-esteem, he's 90.
Yeah.
He's cooking along.
Sure.
And I also think there are people that prematurely just like to act old. Like I remember, you know, when I was, you know, in my 30s or what, people just desperately wanting to act old and doddering. I'm like, why are you doing that?
According to the study co-author, midlife is, for many adults, a time of highly stable life circumstances in domains such as relationships and work. Mm. Moreover, during middle adulthood, most individuals further invest in the social roles they hold, which might promote their self-esteem as well.
Have you ever been asked to take any surveys like this? You get called at home and stuff like that? I always pass on them.
The only surveys I take are the ones that... where I eat a Reese's peanut butter cup.
There you go.
That's the only one. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yes. Do you have any Reese's peanut butter cup surveys? I would like to participate.
Who are you calling?
The Institute of Candy. The Institute of Just Saying.
As far as advancing in life, I have one of my best friends, Will, is a few years older than me. It's about 5 years older. So I get to... I get to take a look at what he's done a few years ahead of me and get some advice from him as I hit these milestone ages, like I did 50 with this year. And he and his wife, Lori, recently are empty nesters.
Ah.
And so I'm getting a feel of what that can be like. And he said something that we went to dinner with him the other night.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're the happiest I've ever seen them.
They're in love again. And they're, not that they weren't in love.
No,
but
they've always been a happy couple, but they seemed like giddy.
Right.
And so Will tells me, and he put it so eloquently, asking about being an empty nester and what it's like. He said the following. He goes, dude, it's like being in your 20s again, only you have knowledge and money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Like
I'm looking
out.
Forward to
and
something
a boner
now.
That won't quit.
And a boner that doesn't stop. So at, you know, you go through these stages in life and you have different experiences as you go through these stages. And one of them happens to be self-esteem continues to increase as you get a little bit older.
My aunt is in her 70s. My uncle is actually turning 80 this year. And we joke and we call them the spring breakers because they are constantly out. They're having drinks with friends. They had a pool party the other day.
Oh, like Joe Bell, our GM. Dude.
I mean, but it's so funny. I'm like, and we're like, are the teenagers out again? Because they're, and they're post pictures. Are them and their friends on Facebook, and they're out all the time.
I mean, this is a cautionary tale to younger people now about making sure that you are, if you work hard and save your money properly, because later on down the road, later on when you're retired and things like that are coming into your life, you want to be able to do whatever the hell you want to do.
You've
you
know earned I mean? It.
You've earned it. You can take your time and you can relive that younger lifestyle again later on and be comfortable and be happy. And it's important to think about this. God, do I sound
and
ancient.
Make wise investments like Kathy. You should invest.
I need to tell you something.
I know.
But buy all your Christmas gifts now and be happy when you're older. Later on, we'll do scrapbooking and explain why Gold Bond doesn't stink.
It does stink. Kat, you should invest in a vineyard now, right? Not to get rich on, but so you can drink wine for free.
Yeah, later on.
In your later
on in
right?
life. Right.
Right.
Got idea. It.
Gotcha.
All right. So self-esteem apparently is its highest when you're the age 60.
I thought so.
That it says.
I was in there. I said between birth and death.
Here is another thing out of my junk drawer.
Wow. We're in the junk drawer formally now.
Yeah, why not? So arguing with your siblings may have driven your parents crazy, but apparently it built character.
Oh, look, we're learning all this stuff about being better people.
The University of Cambridge researchers followed a group of kids for 5 years, and they found that they can benefit from fighting with a sibling so long as they increase their verbal sophistication and learn to resolve their differences without one child constantly submitting. Study author said the more that children upset each other, the more they can learn about regulating their emotions and how they can affect emotions of others. The more combative siblings are and the more they argue and the older child puts the younger one down, the more they are learning complex lessons about communication and the subtleties of language.
I was thinking about you while we were on vacation, Preston, because it occurred to me that, unless I'm mistaken, you're the only one on the show who does not have a brother. Mm-hmm. Everybody else does. And I know that over the years you've had a up and down contentious relationship with your sister from time to time. Do you still fight? Like siblings, or have you put that past you?
No, that's pretty much past us.
Okay.
I mean, there are times where she might grate on me a little bit, but we don't fight.
Okay.
We don't have arguments.
Because I have, I fought with my brothers growing up, but once we reached a certain age, we're great friends. I mean, we text every day or almost every day. I've grown really close with both of them for different reasons, and I'm really lucky to be able to say that.
I was friends with twins growing up, and
twins.
fight?
They used to fight. Oh, they were guys like you would not believe. I mean, like full on fist fight.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was actually, we found it humorous because we couldn't believe. And, you know, everybody argues or fights or gets into, you know, tiffs with their siblings. But this was like, this was out of control.
Kathy, same exact thing. And these two particular gentlemen were also like the toughest guys in our class. So it was scary-ish. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, my God. But, I mean, in school, they'd be tumbling over desks.
Yeah.
Yes.
It must be funny. Twins.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When you would fight with your brothers, would you guys, not you, Kathy, but you, Steve, and Casey, would there ever punches to the face?
One time I punched my little brother in the face. But he punched me in the face first.
So okay. Well, yeah. I mean,
it was retaliation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you remember what the fight was over?
No, I have no idea. But okay. I was in high school,
yeah.
And it's not like I socked him, right? It was more of like... All right, so you were talking about the Cheers thing where, you know, Diane slapped
Sam
and then he slapped her. It was kind of like that. But, oh, man, Kamika Craig, the next day, she was a classmate of mine.
Uh-huh. Kamika Craig,
and, man, she was pissed at me. She's like, what did you do? Because I was a senior and he was a freshman or something like that. Yeah, that's what it was.
Did you pull the punch at all?
Meaning,
did you, when you started to throw,
uh-huh.
Did you stop at any point?
I didn't hit him as hard as I could. I didn't even hit him.
Did you? Did you clock your brother's full?
Never in the face.
It was maybe about 25%.
We would do gut punches. We certainly do dead arms and arm punches and wrestling in the hall and all that kind of stuff. And it was, you know, until, actually for me, my youngest brother, Josh, started playing hockey and then got in better shape than me. And then he was able to kick my ass. So, like, when you reach that point, it's like, hey, I'm going to get along with Josh now.
Well, yeah, might as well. My older brother is 9 years older than I am, so there was not much, you know.
Was it teasing with him, or was it?
No, okay. No. He was good. He was actually, in many ways, he was sort of daddish to me.
Okay.
And my younger brother's 6 years younger than I am. So, you know, I looked out for him.
Okay.
Yeah, so we really weren't that we weren't that close in age where we were like, hey, you bastard.
Right.
Ours was typical. You know, I was the only girl in the family. My younger brother is 11 years younger than me, so there was never really fighting issues. But, you know, me and Jimmy, who was only 3 years younger than me, we would physically fight.
Fight?
And both my parents, typical, would say, that's going to end when he gets stronger than you.
Yeah.
Sure enough, there was one day where I kind of got like my bell rung. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to fight with him anymore.
Yeah, that's what they used to say to my sister, too.
Yeah.
Say, one day you're going to regret he's going to be bigger than you.
Yep.
And because she used to smack me around a little bit, and I'd fire back.
I did, too, totally.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember my cousins one time watching them, and they were little kids. They were probably like, you know, 8 or 9 years old or whatever, and they were arguing with each other. And just having words, and one of them out of nowhere just, I mean, flat out, full on, punched him in the stomach as hard as he could.
No
I'm like,
kidding.
Wow. I mean, he was out of nowhere. It was pushing and shoving first. It was just, boom.
Yeah.
Damn, man.
It's shocking.
So but you're saying a little bit of contentiousness helps build character?
That's what they're saying.
So parents that freak out when siblings are fighting, you can let it breathe a little bit?
This is not fist fighting. This is, yes, it's apparently they can learn about emotions and how to resolve differences. And so when our kids start having verbal arguments, the reason it pisses me off is because it's just noise and I don't want to hear.
Shut up.
Daddy's tired.
Daddy's drinking.
Yeah. Daddy's trying to drink.
But when you're not bothering anybody.
Sometimes I let it go for a bit and I sit there and I listen. I'm like, okay. Let's see if they can figure out a way to have this come to an end. But it never ends. It's back.
It just keeps
and
going.
Forth and mm-hmm. back and forth. And then the arguments become really stupid. Like, that's just a dumb argument right there.
Dude, so is it the boys fighting? They don't fight with Caroline, right?
Sure they do.
They do?
Yeah.
All right.
Even and Carter and Caroline have a really, really tight bond, but they get on each other's nerves.
Do they? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I babysat for you one time, and Carter and Parker were, I mean, what's the age difference? 2 years?
Yeah, roughly.
Not even two years.
Less than 2 years.
But they were fighting like brothers normally fight.
Yeah.
And, so I think Parker, yes. Parker was nagging on Carter, and then I pull Carter aside. I go, Carter, if you pretend like he's not bothering you, he will just leave you alone. Because Carter just wanted to be left alone.
Right,
and Parker's like, I hear you. I'm like, I'm not telling him to do anything. I'm like, but like, that's the whole, like, if you can just, you know, as a kid, if you could just for a moment or two, just pretend like it doesn't bother you.
I know.
It will go away.
Will kids learn the same lessons if they get into physical fights with older grandparents?
My guys have never had a physical fight. I've never seen that happen. I used to, however, when they would be bitching back and forth, because I've got a full boxing setup in my basement.
Yes.
I'd say, let's go. Let's put the headgear and gloves and mouthpieces in.
We had boxing
we'll go
gloves.
Downstairs.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd actually, they would stop being mad at each other. It wasn't like, wasn't mean beating up on each other. Then it was like a competition.
Right. Uh-huh.
And it would kind of diffuse things. But anyhow, we don't do that anymore. Let me go to...
Daddy will be down when he's done drinking.
I'm going to go to Bill. Hi, Bill. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Well, me and my brother started out, I guess, when we were younger, we had a few little fist fights, but it escalated in our 20s, even into our 30s. I mean, there's been knockdown, drag out, punches to the face, cops called, family members having to pull us apart.
But why? Why? I don't understand. Like, so are these the only people you fight? What's that?
A lot of alcohol involved, he said.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
Alcohol involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that was the majority of it.
Okay. And then how are things now?
Well, I'm 48 now, and my brother's about 5 years younger than me, and we get along just fine.
Okay. I
mean, there's also a lot less drinking.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was clearly the element that was causing the agitation, but now you're friends. It's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he goes out with me and my son crabbing, fishing, stuff like that, golfing, you know what I mean? Yeah. We do things together now.
Yeah.
But at the time, I mean, it was pretty bad.
It could have been worse, man. You guys could have done something really, really bad. So yeah. I'm glad.
Sometimes it almost got to that. There was blood involved a few times. There were stitches.
Wow.
Yeah, that's heavy duty.
Yeah.
Hey, well, this isn't Bill. Look at them, those rascals tussling.
I swung a hockey stick at my sister one time.
Did you?
Did you make contact?
No, I didn't. I didn't hit her with it. But that was after she had been beating me up. So, you know.
My buddy Kevin told me, because he had the kind of the similar situation as you, but his sister was a little bit older, and then he took karate. And then it was one time he did a roundhouse, caught her right in the chin, and she never bothered her again. Now, listen, it's not, you know, he was 25 years old. So
right.
It's not like,
she was 11.
Yeah. No. They were kids. I mean, he was like maybe 8 and she might have been 11.
Get you.
Yeah. My sister was probably 17 and I was, you know, 13.
Yeah.
Something like that. Let me go to Chris. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Look out, man.
Hey. Look out, man. Two kinds of people know karate.
What's up, Chris?
That's right, man. All right, so I had three sisters growing up, and, you know, I was the only boy, so, I can't obviously hit the girls. But this one time, I was about 11, and my sister, Erin, shout out, she's probably 14. So the phone rings from my dad, and she says, here, give it to dad. I say, no. So she hits me across the face with the phone.
Oh, ow.
Okay.
So, you know, I can't hit her. So I grab the nearest thing, and it's a fork. Okay. So I throw the fork at the ground, mind you. I'm not trying to hit her.
Yeah.
It ricochets up, goes into her leg.
Oh, my God.
Back of her leg. It's stuck in her leg.
Oh, my God.
Blood everywhere.
Oh, Jesus.
So I grab the phone, and I give it to my dad in the other room. And he's like, what's going on in there? I say, nothing. Oh, God. And she still has the... four holes in her leg from the fork.
Wow, man.
God.
My
wow.
My older brother was showing me he had a switchblade. So, you know, oh, look at the switchblade. Look, you know, how sharp it is. I think he was just trying to, like, stick me just to, like, boop. That's how sharp it is at the end.
Yeah.
Boop, stuck it into my leg.
Oh, no kidding.
No.
See, I never had a problem with my sister, but like I had two other brothers that I fought with all the time, and I was the middle, right? So
who kicked your ass more?
My little brother never kicked my ass, ever, unless my older brother was holding me down.
Okay,
you know, so and
they would gang up on you.
So if I ever,
God, that was fun.
Yeah,
ganging up on the other one.
Well, you were the oldest, so like you.
What
never
did it matter?
The,
like, no, I mean, like they would gang up on me, it depended on who was fighting over which He-Man toy at the time. But like we would gang up on the other one all the time, and it, man, like looking back on it,
It was great.
Every single call we have on the line is brother and sister fist fighting.
It's so wild. I would not think that.
I will go to Justin. Hi, Justin. Good morning.
I love you.
I love you.
What's up, man?
I love you.
Okay. So I grew up with two sisters. The oldest sister, I never fought with that much because, honestly, I was a little bit more afraid of her.
Uh-huh.
My middle sister, though, she's more tomboyish. Well, she used to be more tomboyish. And we would just get into just knockdown dragouts. Like, she would always do stuff like run my head through a window.
Oh, my God. Club. What the F?
But, okay, the golf club was an accident. But one time when we were sledding, I don't remember how the argument started, but we got into a fist fight. And we didn't do much damage to each other because we were wearing snow gloves. But when my mom got wind that we were out in public fist fighting each other, she took us both from the house and gave us a beating. So wow.
Yeah. So, when did that stop? Did you when you finally gained size on her?
After I got to a certain size, my father took me aside and said, "Look, you're not the older one. You're not the protector, but you are the only male. So you have to learn. You know." You don't hit women, even if they are your sister.
That's a good lesson, yes.
And my sister's actually, she's an avid listener, so I just want to say, hey, Ash, how you doing?
Thanks. You guys get along now, Justin?
Oh, yeah, we definitely do. Like, okay. Both my older sisters, we bond over different things. Me and my middle sister, it's like mostly like music and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely get along, go to concerts together and stuff.
Hey, cool, Justin, if you recall, how old do you think you were when your dad pulled you aside and that finally stuck with you?
I probably got to about 9-10 years old. It was really early. It's like right as soon as he started to see the changes, you know, I was starting
puberty.
Puberty. Right there.
That's a good move. You should set that precedent at a certain point. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I can see younger kids, you know, boys and girls, brothers and sisters tussling.
Well,
but
it's hard when I guess you only have sisters, right? Like, I had two brothers and a sister, so therefore I had no reason to go after. And also, there was an age difference between me and my sister. But I had no reason to go after my sister whatsoever. I had two boys to fight with.
To beat the crap out of.
My son, on the other hand, he's got two sisters. So he's got nobody else besides the dog to tussle with.
The dog's like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Seamus, go beat the dog. Don't do anything to your sister. Now, let me go to, I'm going to go to Jill. Hi, Jill. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Jill?
Hey, so I have an older brother, younger sister. We're all a year apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the middle child, and we've gotten to some scuffles before. I actually hit my brother in the face with a frying pan.
Okay, then. A frying pan.
A frying pan.
All right. How did that come about?
Well, he wouldn't leave me alone, and our house kind of goes in a circle, so I couldn't get a hold of him, so I waited in the kitchen for him until he came around the corner and hit him in the face.
Oh, my God.
Hit him in the face.
I dropped the frying pan and ran out the door. And didn't
That's like Home Alone.
That's crazy.
Just waiting with a frying pan, and when they come around the corner, whap, right in the
face.
Damn, how bad was he hurt, Jill?
Not that bad. Kind of a bloody lip, but that was about it.
Wow. How much trouble did you get in?
I got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
And you and your brother get along okay?
Well, me, my brother, and my sister, we're all like best friends now.
That's great. You ever say remember that time?
Every day and talk to him.
You ever say remember that time when I hit you in the face with a frying pan?
Yeah, that gets brought up a lot.
I can imagine. All right, thank you, Jill. I appreciate it. Wow, we have a ton of calls. We don't have time to go to them, but
it's a crazy dynamic. I would not think we'd go down this path, but because never having sisters, I didn't realize. Yeah,
that was my dynamic. I had an older sister, 4 years older than me. Childhood, she was much much bigger than me. And I would get punched. And now, listen, we had a great time as well. But
when
the times that we were
beating
fighting
each other,
at the times that we were fighting, I'd get smacked around.
Yeah, and you hate your sibling at that point. Like,
sure.
That's how mad you get, and it's allowed. And your parents, you know, you'll yell it at your brother or sister.
Yeah, I hate you.
Yeah, I hate you. And then your parents are like, you don't hate your brother or sister.
Right,
I do.
No, I really do.
I do. Yeah,
really do. Interesting. Well, apparently. It's arguing, not fighting, arguing with brothers and sisters makes you more clever and sociable.
So you'll be a genius if you use nunchucks.
Maybe so.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Anyhow, these are junk drawer stories.
Interesting.
Started off as noticer, ended up as junk drawer. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment. Got a bizarre file on the way. And from the Philadelphia Union, we are going to have Harris Madunyanin. I think
Benjamin
I said his
Harris.
Name. Correctly, stopping by as well. Be back in just a second.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rocking Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1994, the year MMR turned 26. It was the year of the great Green Day mud fight at Woodstock 94. The birth of Amazon and Yahoo online and PlayStation in your home. On TV, we were introduced to Friends. While at the movies, we saw The Shawshank Redemption, Forrest Gump, and Pulp Fiction.
This is a tasty burger.
MMR had new music from these bands. Green Day, Soundgarden, Nine Inch Nails, Pearl Jam, Beastie Boys, STP, Weezer, Live, Tom Petty, Alice in Chains, Toadies, Bat, Pink Floyd, Korn, The Offspring, Bush, R.E.M., Woo! And so many more from 1994, including Nirvana Unplugged. Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Thompson Toyota. Experience the Thompson difference at thompsontoyota.net.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
We're going to do the beat file, and then we welcome a guest.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? A pit bull went after and helped capture a suspected armed robber in Chicago last week.
Wow.
Prosecutors said Marshawn Hannon pulled a gun on a man in a gated property last Friday. Hannon displayed a .38 caliber Colt revolver and made the victim turn over his belongings and a set of keys. Friends of the homeowner said that they saw what happened, and they turned the pit bull loose on Hannah. They said Hannah tried to shoot the dog, pulling the trigger several times, but the gun wouldn't fire.
Ah.
While unsuccessfully trying to escape the dog and the victim's friends, Hannah tossed the weapon, but responding officers later found it at the scene. He's being held for armed robbery with a judge denying...
Big dogs running. Big dogs out.
Denying him bail, and he was dressed in hospital scrubs with a bandage wrapped around his right forearm.
So he was set up like a real thief.
They let him go. And,
yeah.
The dog took care of business.
If you saw the dog, wouldn't you just go leave anyway at that point?
Yeah. This is a weird and sad story. A Florida animal hospital announced the death of a beloved community alpaca Saturday on Facebook. Creekside Animal Hospital in Fleming Island wrote, "It's with a heavy heart that we want to inform our clients and friends that our youngest alpaca that was born out of the shared field over a year ago has passed away." According to the post, it was a man in a blue car that is responsible for the death of the alpaca. Now, the animal hospital said that this guy would dump food onto the field many times a week, and they had spoken to him multiple times and told him not to do it. Most recently, he left 3 boxes of animal crackers, a large bag of Doritos, 2 boxes of cheese nips, and 2 bags of whole peanuts.
Was it his intent to feed the alpaca this stuff?
Maybe so, or the animals. They have other animals as well. But the animal hospital said the man leaves the litter behind every single time, and we clean it up. The post said that this was his first time that he used peanuts that were dumped, and the youngest alpaca overindulged, and it killed the animal. The hospital said that it did everything it could for him, even a blood transfusion from his father, but the young alpaca died nonetheless. Employees of the animal hospital said they are now in fear of the rest of the herd, including their goats. They said they will likely be moving them to a new location.
Can't they arrest this son of a bitch?
Because they have no way to protect them from the man with the blue car. Well, they're trying to find this guy. They don't know who he is, and I guess they're going to try and track him down, but I would hope so. You know, I mean,
alpaca killer.
He may have tried to been doing in his mind what he thought was a good thing, but listen, they tell you to stop doing it. Stop doing it. You know,
don't do it.
This is hilarious, and unfortunately, I just have a little tidbit of it, but you got to see the video. I believe it was in the New York Post. Sometimes driving gets in the way of getting it in, but not for this couple that was caught on video. A gear shift, a steering wheel, a seatbelt were no match for one commuter's compulsion to suck foot.
Oh, God, yeah.
I showed this to Casey yesterday. And it wasn't a light suck either. So the guys didn't sitting in the driver's seat. The woman is sitting in the passenger seat, and she's just on her phone.
Yeah.
And the dude is deep throating her foot
like a full on.
I mean, all
porn
the way
suck
down to the heel, man.
Wow.
I've never seen anything quite like
heel
it.
Heel deep,
and he's going up and down as if he's filleting her foot. And look, watch this, Kathy. Watch. So I want to get your reaction. Watch. Look at that. Look at this.
He's giving her foot a...
Hummer.
A Hummer.
Yeah.
He's jamming it down in her throat. And then
it's
the
a
person,
foot job.
The person making the video, and you'll see them look up, and she goes, hey, what are you guys doing over there? And the guy turns and looks at the camera, and then all of a sudden he's like, out of here. This guy's wearing a tie and everything. Looks like he's off on his lunch break. I mean...
What the...
I know.
Oh, do you think she's? Man. Do you think she was a hooker or something? Paid for her feet?
I don't know.
One of those foot fetishists.
But he is. He's loving it. If that's your thing, well, that's great. But gross. Doing it while you're driving is a little weird.
Yeah, he was loving it. She's on her phone.
Like, yeah,
you know,
that's just rude.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my God.
He must get some. He
please,
gets something
people,
out of it.
Put down your phones and look up at the guy who's sucking your foot.
Mm-hmm. All right, I love this story. Like a real-life version of a Looney Tunes cartoon, a visitor to a Portuguese museum was injured last week when he stepped into an art installation resembling an inky void. I don't know if you saw this or not, Steve.
Yes.
But it's on exhibit at the Cerlaves Museum in Porto. It's called Descent into Limbo, and it's by artist Anish Kapoor.
It looks pretty cool.
And it's an actual 8-foot hole that is painted black, so it appears to have no depth at all. They use this special paint that sucks up all light.
It's light killing.
And it just looks like it's a hole painted on the floor, but it's actually an 8-foot deep hole.
Wow.
And somebody walked into it and fell in there. It's extremely dark paint, though the Descent into Limbo installation was reportedly surrounded by warning signs and staffers warning visitors not to get too close. There was no barrier around it.
They should have put a barrier around
it. The museum goer, an Italian man in his 60s, was able to step into the hole is not yet known. But he was briefly hospitalized for the 8-foot fall. The museum closed the exhibit to assess what had happened.
The guy fell in that 8-foot hole.
And by the way, you know this artist. In addition to being known for his oversized installations, including the giant reflective cloud gate bean in Chicago. You know the bean?
Yeah.
He's the guy who did that. Kapoor made headlines in 2016 when he secured the exclusive artistic rights to a physics-defying material called Vantablack. Developed by a British company, the material is able to trap photons in between lab-grown carbon nanotubes, which bounce around until they're eventually absorbed, and just a scant 0.035% of visible light is reflected by an object that is covered in this stuff called Vantablack.
It's pretty cool.
And so it makes it look like it's just a painted circle on the floor is actually an 8-foot deep hole.
Like dark matter.
Yeah.
Who was that guy for years?
Pretty wild.
Was it Christos, the guy who used to wrap islands and things of that nature?
I think that was his
artist?
Name. Yeah. All right, so we'll wrap the B file right there, my friends, because we have a guest who is in our studio. And I will do best to get the name correct. It is written in phonetics here. He is with the Philadelphia Union, and they are playing the New England Revolution on Saturday. And there's a real cool special event that's taking place. He's a midfielder for the team. Please welcome Harris Madunyanin to the show this morning.
Yay!
How did I do, Harris?
Very good. Very
I did good?
Good? Very good.
How
very
do you
good.
Say your last name?
Madunyanin.
Madunyanin.
He says it better.
Madunyanin. I don't know. You add the accent in, and it sounds much more continental. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you guys you're currently in fifth place in the division, or in the conference, I'm sorry. And where does that lead you in heading towards playoffs? You got a good shot at getting there?
Yeah, it's all up to us now. I think there are like 10 games left, so it's all up to us. So we're playing in our home, like you said, and it's a big game for us, so we can separate ourselves from New England. You know, if we win, we are 7 points away from them. So it's a big game, and hopefully we are ready.
I've been hearing people, and this is just by happenstance, more people, you know, in my general circle of friends who have gotten into seeing the Union and enjoying soccer. And it's just my wife is now asking about tickets to go check it out. So have you noticed an increase in fandom?
Yeah, it's almost even I came last year here, you know, and it's always a full stadium, you know.
Yeah.
The people really like soccer over here, and especially sports in general in Philadelphia. So now we're doing it good, you know, so now you see a lot of people coming, you know, to the stadium, and plus we are in the cup final, so...
It's excitement.
It's very exciting
to
be in the Union now and to play for Union.
It really is just an incredible venue, and you know, you go out and it's going to be a nice weekend, and you sit out there and you watch the ships go by, and you're looking at the river, and it's the perfect size for a soccer stadium in this city, especially because it's just... The way that they built it, there's no bad sight lines. You're right on top of the action,
And now there's a good product on the field, too. You're watching a team that's contending for the playoffs. So it's really the perfect combination of for a really good sporting event.
Yeah, it's a really nice stadium. You know, I played in a lot of stadiums, and I really like it over here, you know. And like you said, you know, maybe you can see it better from outside, you know, because I cannot see the ships, you know, when you're playing. You know,
yeah, so. Yeah.
But it's a nice atmosphere over there, yeah, for sure.
I was reading it, and so Atlanta is in first place in the conference right now. You had a bit of a run-in in Atlanta when you guys played and got a red card and an extended suspension. What happened? What was the incident that took place, and why did you get that kind of a suspension?
No, this was my first red card in my career, my 17-year career.
Really?
In
no kidding.
That I got a red card, you know, especially, you know, I like when it's like something is unfair, you know, then I react, you know, and I lose myself like maybe 10, 15 seconds, and that happened in that game, you know. I tried to stood up for my teammate. Because I think we got punished there for no reason, you know. But that's how it is, you know. It's soccer over here, you know. They want to punish you, but yeah, you need to keep yourself calm of all the time, you know. So
for yelling at the referee, you got a 3-game suspension.
Yeah, it was. He said that it was like a harassment or something like that. That I really attacked him, you know, and that he was like really scared. And I don't know, what did you yell?
I was
talking more in my language, so I could not understand. You know?
He had no idea what you were saying.
Yeah, well, he had no idea what he was saying. Plus, he said that I pushed him too, you know. But I was like a little bit attacking, but I will never like hit him or something like this. It was just, you know, to show him that we was mad with this. With his thing, you know.
And I was a little attacking, he said.
holding up his little red card. Now we're watching the video. You look pretty aggressive in it.
Yeah, yeah. It looks, like I said, like for 10, 15 seconds, it looked like really aggressive. But I'm not that kind of guy, you know. But I just, you know, stood up for my teammate, you know. And we got like 2 red cards in that game because I think we had a chance to win this game, you know.
I think fans respect that you're sticking up for your teammates. You get passionate about it. You were saying like here there are In the United States, are the refs a little bit more picky?
It's different, you know.
Different?
Because here, if you say something about the referee, you get fined, you know. I don't know on this show, but maybe they're listening, you know. So, you know, it's like, you know, it's good, you know. The referee, they are also human, you know. They can make mistake, you know. But I think, you know, if you are a referee, you make a mistake, you need to also
say,
you know, that you made a mistake. But most of the time, the referees got, like, so protected over here that they can do anything wrong, you know.
Yeah. Harris, where are you from? Where were you born?
I'm born in Bosnia, in Sarajevo.
Okay. And when did you first come to the United States?
I came here with my national team with Bosnia, I think maybe 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
To play in Chicago for the first game, you know, so.
And would you have been open to playing anywhere in the world professionally, or was America something that you
No, I really liked it over here when I came with my national team with Bosnia, you know. I like, you know, the stadiums, and I like that a lot of people come to the stadium to watch it because they really like sports. And I always was following, you know, different sports, you know, like NBA, American football. So it was nice to be here and maybe see it, you know, like in close, you know, not always on TV and 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., you know.
Right. So you're a fan of you know, football as well and baseball?
Yeah, NBA. I was watching always, you know, at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., like waking up, you know, to watch the games, you know. So
nice.
And now I can go normal time, you know. So right.
Is basketball popular in Bosnia?
Yeah, okay. Basketball is popular, yes.
Okay. Who was your team growing up? What NBA team would you guys root for?
I always liked Miami Heat, you know, with Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade was one of my favorites, you know. So, but, you know, like... LeBron James now, you know, he's like, I always like discuss it with my teammates about LeBron, you know, because I like Michael Jordan better, but they are like in this era, you know, so.
Well,
but LeBron is the best for me also, you know.
Okay.
So. Have you had any players come out to watch? Any of the Sixers or anything?
To the game?
To the
Union game?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, maybe Joel Embiid was watching. I don't know, like last year he came to, he likes soccer, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah. He loves soccer. Yeah. He was just playing in Cameroon.
Yeah, I saw the video, yeah. It was like bicycle kicks.
Seriously? He was playing with a bunch of kids out on the street, and it was a makeshift soccer yard, you know, and it wasn't really even a field. But, I mean, he's 7'1", 7'2", or whatever, and he's playing with all these kids around him, and you can tell how passionate he is.
Yeah, he can juggle and all that stuff. Yeah, I've seen him do it with the basketball. Also, I think Saric is a big soccer fan as well.
Yeah, he's from Croatia, so, and they're like...
Speaking of bicycle kicks, there's no more exciting goal than I think when somebody pulls that off. Have you ever had that in your career?
No, I'm not that athletic. You know, you need to know your strengths. You know, you need to know your qualities. Yeah. You know, I don't do these kind of things. You know,
Usain Bolt is a huge soccer fan as well, and he's been making a push to play at a professional level. I actually watched some YouTube video of him playing. I believe he was playing against an English team.
Is he worth a damn?
Well, listen, he is. There's nobody faster in the world than this guy. So, but that doesn't. His ball handling skills probably could be a little bit better. But, you know, so what are your thoughts on that? Did you see him play at all?
I think he went to Australia, you know, to play, to maybe to earn a contract because he's like a big fan of soccer, you know. Like you said, the fastest man in the world, you know. So I think if you give him ball deep, he will have it, you know. So you know, I think, you know, maybe the technical level he can prove, you know. But
can't you just going balls deep?
Well, just like pass it to him and say, here, Usain, run with the ball.
Well, they try to, but you also have to stay on side.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. So, you can't get too far ahead.
You're too far ahead. But I had a friend of mine in college who was the fastest guy in the league. And he ended up scoring 26 or 28 goals in one season, which is more than anybody had scored in the entire collegiate career there. So speed does kill in that sport, but but offsides is, you know, there are ways to sort of level the playing field. Right.
Yeah. Because I always joke with my teammates. I wish that I was fast, you know. Otherwise, I would just go deep all the time, you know. Yeah, so you know, but it's a very important thing, you know, to have in soccer, you know, to be fast, you know, and to know your quality, you know. So.
Yep. I want to mention something that's coming up this weekend that maybe people might not be aware of. It's called the U Camp Out post game camp out on the pitch. So after the game against New England on Saturday, people are going to be camping there on the pitch, and they're going to be showing a movie. Up on the screens.
Yeah.
They have a training session with the union team trainer, Continental Breakfast, and all kids 12 and under get an Acme gift pack courtesy of Acme, and obviously you got to have chaperones. There's a list of rules and stuff that you can get on the union website, philadelphiaunion.com, but that's cool, man. And the weather's going to be great this weekend, so this is a really cool chance to be for a soccer fan to camp out on the pitch.
That is awesome.
And just do a night out.
Yeah.
It's a pretty sweet deal, man. So I want to give people a heads up on that. New England, are they formidable? Are they a tough opponent, or you think you guys are ready to handle them?
Every game is tough. Yeah. Okay. So we beat them twice this year, you know, but that doesn't say anything, you know, because everybody can win here. So, but we play home. We have our fans behind us, you know. So if we play like we play against New York last week, so we should win this game. And I think we need to be confident to play this game, and especially if we want to go to the playoffs, you know, you need to win.
When you're playing, I mean, the Suns have been are amazing. Obviously, they're the energy and everything. When you're down on the field and they're just making...
Yeah, 90,
can
90
you,
minutes.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, 90 minutes noise, you know. So right. They're always behind
and
us.
And that's good. You love that, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think every soccer player loves when there's a little bit pressure and there's like a lot of sound, you know, and it's a nice atmosphere to play then. Then you will go like the extra yard then, you know, because of the nice atmosphere.
That's great.
That's cool. All right, well, listen, Harris, great to meet you. Thanks for coming by this morning. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you very much. Thank you guys for having me. All the best.
You got Harris Mendunyane from the Philadelphia Union. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Seether. The train Chris Stapleton. The Five Finger Death Punch.
So new music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We're going to have actor Ted McGinley on in a little while. Our buddy Bert Kreischer is checking in as well. But did everybody see Casey's new tattoo?
Yes, I did.
We're talking about this.
Why not?
Okay.
It's all over your social media.
Yeah.
Casey got not a little one. He got a big tattoo on his right shoulder, down his, on the outside of his right bicep, all the way, almost down to the elbow.
Yeah, I wanted
to
kind of go.
That's a huge one, dude.
Half sleeve-ish. And I realize now that I maybe have to start doing some curls.
Because you're going to be showing your guns more often?
Yeah.
But you might throw off the symmetry of this lovely picture and explain what it is, Casey.
All right, so I've been floating around ideas in my head for a while about what I wanted to do on this sleeve, and I knew I wanted to do a lot of color. But I also wanted it to mean something. So I've been spending a lot of time down the beach and we go to Sunset Lake in Wildwood Crest a lot to watch the sunset. So I'd taken a picture of my three children, their arms around each other, watching the sunset. So I had that taken and put on my arm. So it's kind of like silhouetted a little bit. So they're in the foreground.
Do you have
like
the original picture?
Somewhere.
All right.
Somewhere around here I have the original. So the only thing that I changed in the picture was the background.
Yes.
You know, I wanted so Bob Dodge was my guy. I love his work. And so I called him and I've been consulting with him for a little while about, you know, what I wanted to do. And I said, the only thing I want to remain true in this picture that I had sent him was, you know, obviously my kids' silhouettes. And then everything else, I just want a lot of color and whatever you can do. So
it's very, we were talking about, you know, siblings fighting and everything. Here's the antithesis to that. They're all their arms around each other, just enjoying a moment on the, you said it was a lake that they're at here, Case?
Well, it's called Sunset Lake. Actually, technically, I don't know if it's technically a lake, but it's a bay, if you will.
You know, it's salt water, but so it's not a lake technically. Yeah. But
somebody commented on your page, and I didn't understand it until just now. They said, I think something to the effect of Ben Simmons forever.
Yeah.
And I thought that the person was just stating that they were a Sixers fan.
Yeah.
But your son is wearing a Ben Simmons jersey.
He's wearing a Ben Simmons jersey. And that was another discussion that that Bob and I had. And so in the actual picture, my son is wearing a Ben Simmons jersey.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bob was like, do you want the 25 in there? And, you know, at first I was like, no, it's okay. You could just make it a regular, tank top or whatever. Yeah. And then as we were getting closer and he had started to do the outline, I said, you know what? Yeah, put the 25 on there. That's I'm fine with that because it's, you know, it's a Philly thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, at the same time as, you know, the love for my family and my children, it's also I have a love for Philly sports as well.
And you know what? If you ever, for some reason, let's say he did something horrible and he's a disgraced individual, you can always get that number covered up.
Absolutely.
Well, that's no big deal.
28.
We also didn't put his name at the top of the jersey. We just kept it as a 25.
So, and you also have other, your tattoos are very family based. You have tattoos of your kids' footprints when they were born. Correct.
I do. I have a tattoo of a monkey on my taint.
Yes,
And that is very
your
representative.
Pet monkey. When you're a little, people don't know when you were a young man, you always dreamed of owning a monkey.
Yeah. It was I probably shouldn't have done that. It hurt a lot that monkey, the taint tattoo.
Well, how about pain wise? How was this?
All right, so this was a little over 3 hours, and by hour two, I was like, you know, trying to find a zen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, by the end of it, if you can notice, like, there's kind of like a white border around my kids, and that was something that he did at the very end. When he started doing that, I was like, I just don't know if I can take this anymore.
I see it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, when you do, like, lines... Shading is not as painful.
Yep.
But when you're doing like definitive lines and stuff like that, it's like, oh Jesus.
Yeah.
I just want this to end. Yeah. You know,
but you got to sit through it.
You have to. And you know what? He said I took it like a champ. I thought maybe because
you cried?
I asked him if people cry. He goes, some people cry. Like, okay.
It's also touching. You went through a little bit of pain to memorialize this to make this a part of your body, this moment in time that you'll always remember. It's very nice.
Yeah. And so my son has been, you know, asking me about tattoos for a little while now. And he's like, you know, and he always asks the same thing as if I haven't already answered this question. He says, do they hurt? And I go, well, yeah, they don't tickle. You're getting punctured with the needle thousands of times. But when you're doing it over and over and over and over again, it just gets raw.
So
after a while,
how long did you have to lobby for this, or was this a surprise?
Lobby with who?
With the wife and.
I don't. It's my body. I can do whatever
and
I want.
Cry if you want it.
So 2 weeks or so.
You probably had a discussion about it, right?
No,
not at all. You just went and got it done.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, my family went down to the beach yesterday, and they were supposed to be gone. By the time this thing started.
Oh, so it's going to be a big surprise down at the beach.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the surprise came late. My wife's like, what? Why are you? It's so big. And
well, you had some latitude because your wife, Diane, has Lil Yachty on her forehead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I had advised against.
Is that the first time she said it's so big to you, by the way?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. All right. No doubt. I had pose because Bob came to my house. He did.
Oh,
a house
that's
call.
Awesome.
He did a house call, which you can say privilege or whatever you want. But Bob's a
well,
friend
he's
of
a
mine.
Friend.
Yeah, I've known Bob for a decade plus now. Mm-hmm. In fact, I met Bob the first time ever when I had my first two kids tattoos done on my legs by RC, and you know Bob was just a young buck back
yeah.
then. And he's really come into his own.
I have three cover ups that I need to get, but I can't decide on what the hell to get.
So that's so what the you, hard thing. Is
what
like,
are you covering
you know,
up?
Like,
all of my tattoos.
Really?
I have a music note on my right shoulder. I have a really, really tiny, itty bitty, wimpy Flyers tattoo.
As do I.
Yeah, on my left, near my left ankle.
That's my one tattoo. Is it
such a pussy tattoo?
A tiny Flyers
and
tattoo.
And then I've got a tribal pattern around my right ankle that's just bad.
Okay.
I went to a bad tattoo artist. I wanted a tattoo. And, like, you know, the Red Hot Chili Peppers are really hot at the time.
Yeah.
And they had all these tribal tattoos. And I'm like, yeah, I want to get one like that. And
Ugly Kid Joe.
It's just bad. Hey, Jackson used to have an Ugly Kid Joe tattoo. Yeah. But I have no idea what I'd want to cover it up with. I don't. There's nothing in my life that's going, dude, you need to get that. I would like to get a family-oriented thing, but I don't know something that would...
I mean,
guess I should start having a discussion with a tattoo artist, maybe.
Not even family. I mean, you can do family. I think that's wonderful. But I would go with things that have really improved something to me. You always talk about the Dark Tower. You talk about the Game of Thrones. You talk about Ready Player One. You talk about the Watchmen. There are pop culture things that have dramatically enhanced or affected your life.
It's the Beatles that I would
the
get
Beatles.
For sure.
Well, okay.
So I have an idea.
I'm thinking about doing that when we go to London.
Oh,
really?
Getting a tattoo there?
Yeah, but maybe going to Liverpool.
And
they give you fish and chips while you're getting the tattoo done.
And getting a Beatles tattoo in Liverpool.
Wow.
I don't know.
Well,
so what you just mentioned, the three tattoos that you have that you need to get covered up is the reason that I don't have any. There's no way that I would choose anything at any point in my life and I would give it 3 to 5 years and still actually like it.
What about that Jonas Brothers show that you watch
right?
that you love?
Right?
You...
I mean, but if you think about it, like something that I would have gotten 10 years ago, there's just no way that I would like it now.
See,
I mean,
that's why I go with it, with the thing with my kids is like, you know, the footprints
but
still, I
still
love.
Even,
you know?
But even like if I were to pick something like, and I'm only talking about me, I'm not criticizing your tattoo or anything, but so if I were to get that like all these colors and you know, my kid on my shoulder, I'm not going to like those colors in 5 years. I'm going to say, oh, how stupid. Why did I pick purple?
Here's what I do have things that have been perennials in my life that I could get. I just, you know, I don't know. I don't think I'm a tattoo looking guy. You know,
I told you guys this yesterday there. I saw a picture of a girl, a beautiful girl, beautiful blonde. I mean, probably could have been almost modelish. And she got a tattoo over her eyebrow that says in cursive that says blessed.
Yeah,
oh my
face.
God.
And listen, I know that that's
thing is. It,
but like, oh my God, that is there forever. Know. Or you can get it removed and then have like a giant scar
above
your eyebrow.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
I think it's safe to be judgmental about the face tattoo.
Unless you're like a rapper or rock star.
It looks awful.
They did it at the MTV Awards. Yeah. And there was a general approval on the crowd. You had the guy Post Malone. Who has the right? I think it's a liability. I think if there's one you're going to regret, it'll probably be the face tattoo. However, I do think tattoos are great. I think, you know, again, I love seeing interesting ink. I love when there's stuff.
Sure.
And it's best, like with Casey, when there's a story attached to it, you know, when there's something that means something to the person that's sort a symbol of what they're about. I love it.
Yeah, there's a guy, the CBS that I go to, Stephen, you mentioned Lord of the Rings. He's got a whole theme all down his arm, and it's photo quality stuff. I'm mesmerized whenever the guy's in there and I take a look at it. Or you see women who get these exotic flower tattoos and things, or koi fish and stuff like that.
Gorgeous.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Gorgeous works of art. Yeah.
So the story behind this this tattoo, Steve, is me behind the camera going, just put your arms around each other for 5 seconds.
Are you serious?
Just act like you like each other, guys.
Yes! This wasn't a candid, tender moment.
Quick, get the camera.
You're going to love each other for 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Dude, No. Put your arms on his shoulders. Seamus, put your arms up.
Oh, my God.
Preston, the tattoo on your shoulder of the musical note.
Yep.
Is there an opportunity to turn that into, if you were going to get a Beatles tattoo, to make that
sheet music from a song?
Yes.
I was thinking the same thing. Your favorite?
Nah.
Just, Preston, it doesn't have to be more than two or three pages worth of notes.
Right. It's all of it, it's Hey it's Jude a- with all the na 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 na's in yeah. there as well.
Tune down your rib cage.
No, I don't think I'd do that. I want the old, the standard Beatles logo. That
okay.
classic that was on Ringo's drum head.
Yeah.
That the Beatles thing. That's what I want to get. So, and I want it somewhere I can see it.
Yeah.
So that's
your
on
forehead.
My, that's on my back.
Yeah.
I probably forgot for a couple of years I even had the thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. So.
Yeah, I got a few on my upper back, lower neck or whatever that I totally forgot. I'm like, oh, what is it again? There's a son.
Yeah. But I don't know what to do about the ankle.
I have an idea about that. I don't know cover-up wise. I know that the fleur-de-lis is something that that is very prominent in you and your family's lives.
Yeah, it's a running symbol that we have throughout our home.
Could you because it's where it is, you could tattoo it into what would look like permanent socks.
Oh my God. Yes.
I actually thought about getting just a black band.
Oh, really?
Solid black all the way around, just covering it up completely. And that was after I got my black belt in Krav Maga.
Oh, okay.
I was like, okay, that can represent my black belt. You know, whatever, man.
See, now.
I know.
And now you don't do Krav anymore.
No, I don't do Krav anymore.
See, like,
but you wear socks. Listen, you wear socks all the time.
I have a suggestion. Don't get anything.
No, I think I'll eventually I'll get them covered up because it'll look cool for several years. And the thing is about tattoos is they do fade and change over time, and you have to keep that in mind as well.
You want to do something that Kathy's going to like?
Something that can be touched.
Kathy forever.
Kathy.
Forever.
Spelled EVA.
Yeah. I want Jackie Bam Bam to get that tattoo.
Kathy, you should get the Target symbol somewhere.
Somebody said that.
Yeah.
Did you see the
no.
Somebody said that.
Actually, that would be perfect.
That is pretty good.
For me, the obvious ones, you know, the anything Batman. Related,
yeah.
The classic bat symbols. There's a classic shot of from the movie 2001, one of my favorite movies of all time, of the monolith with the, you know, with the moon behind it.
Mm-hmm.
There's James Bond. Anything with that? A series that has been, you know, part of my life forever.
You could do a whole theme,
yeah.
Of different movies because you know, yeah, all that stuff. Batman and James Bond.
Human Centipede.
See, I have a couple of passions in my life, and I've thought often about, well, I don't necessarily need to tattoo those because I already live them. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't need an Eagles tattoo.
Yeah.
I don't need a fish tattoo. However, with that said, I may add to this.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
We have a picture of Human Centipede tattoo on somebody's butt. That's hilarious. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Casey.
What I may add to this particular tattoo are, seagulls flying in the background, and then one of the seagulls actually being the old eagle symbol.
Oh.
Just subtle enough.
Do you know what, though?
Where it just looks like a...
That is such a beautiful little moment in time. You know, it's such a pretty picture.
Your goddamn arms are really charred.
I would put Godzilla coming out of the water. That would...
Yes.
Yeah,
I would love that.
People screw with and we've had it. I think we did it. We've done it a couple times where we've repaired, for listeners, horrific tattoos.
So do you want to do a whole sleeve? Down to your wrist?
No. Oh, God, no, no, no.
Okay.
No.
You just give it half sleeve.
I'm good. I'm good where we are right now.
Okay. You can do a neck tattoo?
I will not do... I've come around on neck tattoos,
really?
Actually. A little bit. A tattoo behind the ear, I like a little bit. I wouldn't personally get it.
Tekashi 69.
That guy's an idiot. You know, but...
Who's that guy?
Tekashi 69.
Who is he, though?
He's a hip-hop guy.
Okay.
Oh, Preston, he's awesome.
I'm sure.
You'll be hearing about him for years to come.
He's a genius.
With 69 tattooed all over his face.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Brendan. Hey, Brendan, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Brendan?
Hey, I'm just calling because I have a lot of tattoos.
Yep. And
my personal opinion with tattoos is anything past the cuff and above the neckline, anything on the neck of your face, it's trashy.
It looks trashy, you think?
I think it's trashy. And I think you got to wonder in 15 years or 10 years down the line, say you're going for a job interview. Now, all of a sudden, you're not getting a job because this guy's got a face tattoo that says,
Tekashi 69.
We're blessed. Oh,
well,
you raise a good point, Brendan. But do we have the audio clip of Kevin Hart from the MTV Movie Awards saying exactly that about face tattoos?
Hey, while you're looking for that, have you ever seen the ones of like, and mug shots are great for face tattoos. There's
my God.
It just said F U, and I mean the F word spelled all the way out on his forehead, across his forehead.
Right. You know, so you have. So I'm looking at your looking at your records here, and I couldn't help also but notice your FU tattoo prominently. See, the position is for HR, and we think this could be a problem.
God, what absolute moron!
I don't have that audio.
It's,
that...
it's part of their monologue.
Oh, it's part of the monologue. Yeah. Okay, yeah, here, then we do
now. Night, so some of you out there have class tomorrow.
We have
to
get back.
The teacher says, what kind of career are you going to have if you keep goofing off on your phone and all that? You just tell them, I'm going to be DJ Khaled. Oh, that's a Khaled joke. She got no respect. Keep it going, Tip. Go. Okay, hey, Jersey Shore.
Is it part of this?
It's the third joke in this. Painful, yeah.
Painful.
That's a herpes joke.
That's a herpes joke. Right. She said Jersey Shore got herpes.
A lot of people here that I love tonight. We got Lil Pump. We got Lil Xan. These are also the reasons that your 12-year-old cousin wants a face tattoo. Stop writing on that your face. In. It's stupid. You're not going to get a job if this don't work out. Stop it.
That is the absolute truth, man. Oh,
that's right. That Tekashi guy was the one that Bert Kreischer tweeted about. And he's got...
That's who that is.
He has some charges against him. Like, yeah. There's some pretty nasty stuff against this guy.
Oh, yeah. And Bert deleted, his tweets.
He did, yeah. And they're allegations, but they're not the nicest things that apparently this guy has done.
And we are going to talk to Kreischer in just a little bit.
Just a tad,
But I believe our other guest is already on the line.
Is that right?
Oh, does he have any face tattoos?
You want to talk about one of the most photogenic faces of all time, Nick.
Saying, we are welcoming on. Talking about Axel or AXL. I need to find out if it's Axel.
Axel.
Is it Axel?
Axel.
And it opens in theaters everywhere on Friday. But we love this guy. You know him from tons of different television shows and movies. Revenge of the Nerds. Married with Children. Thank you.
Happy Days, Love Boat, Dynasty.
We could do, listen to this. You're going through every single theme?
Yeah.
I watch them all the time on MeTV on The Love Boat.
I didn't
plays
know
Ace, the photographer.
Please welcome Mr. Ted McGinley.
Hey!
Hey, Ted.
Thank you for having me. What a pleasure.
Are you kidding me, man? You are one of our... bucket list in studio guests.
Yes.
We want to get you by here. You'd have to be on the East Coast. You got to be. We're in Philadelphia, but man, do we want to have you in here sometime.
Well, you have my word that if I come to Philly, I'm coming there because I love Philadelphia. I honestly do. It's one of the great cities in the United States, and it's a lot of fun. I love it. I had a sister who lived on 4th Street for a while.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
You're Newport Beach, where you're from, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, Newport Beach,
yeah.
California.
So,
halfway between Los Angeles and San Diego.
right.
Gorgeous.
And we're not kidding. You've been a part of some of our favorite pop culture things throughout the years, and we loved the sort of fun relationship you have with the Jump the Shark thing and John Hines' take on the whole thing. And you've just been a part. You've joined... And you've made fun of it. You've joined shows, you know, along in the career where the show might be further on as it was starting to peter out. And so you unfairly labeled a show killer, which you were not. And you've had a lot of successes. But you are whenever you're interviewed about it, you're so funny and self-deprecating. You've had a really good ride, man.
I have had you're talking to maybe the luckiest guy in show business. For sure. I lucked out. I've been a part of, honestly, I mean, if you look at most careers and you look at, if you could just get on one iconic show.
Yeah.
That would really be a ride. And the fact that, you know, sometimes people will say, well, what have you done? And I'll start to go over sort of my resume and I think, yeah, actually that was pretty iconic. And then,
yeah.
That was pretty iconic, you know. I mean, even the ones I was on only for like a year and a half, I was on Dynasty.
Yeah.
And I was married to Heather Locklear. Mm. And I was in a love triangle between Heather Locklear and Catherine Oxenberg.
That's not too shabby. And you played a bit of a prick, too, which was a sort of a departure. So, you know, that...
You know, I always play... I mean, in this movie, for example, in Axel, I play a prick. I play a prick if I'm not playing the really nice guy. I play a prick. And I actually prefer it. More fun than anything.
So let's quickly talk about Axel, because this looks like it's basically there's this robotic dog that's been developed. It's I assume for military purposes, But somehow it ends off in a junk heap, and it's discovered by a young man who's basically the lead, and he by futzing around with some of the circuitry and some of the equipment with it, he actually pairs himself with the dog, and then the story's off and running. Correct?
He's a motocross guy.
Yeah.
And so he's used to fixing stuff. He and his dad fix stuff up, and you know they can find machinery and make things work. And I play, of course, the sort of, I don't know if I'm allowed to say a-hole, but the guy, sort of the big car agency in town. It's got all the money. I got a huge van of all the, I got all the parts. I got everything you need. We go to these tracks, and, you know, my son is pretty good, but nowhere near as good as this kid, Miles, who comes along. Anyway, my son plays the prick throughout the movie.
And so both dad and son are pricks, and your name is Mr. Fontaine, is that correct?
Yes,
Mr. All right.
Fontaine. Anyway, this dog has been developed for military purposes, and it's this great story of this kid. It's kind of got a little bit E.T. element where he finds this he finds this dog, they fix it, he saves the dog, and then they develop this relationship. And it's kind of got this amazing new bend to it of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, and facial recognition. It also reminds me of an animated movie that was great called Iron Giant.
Yes, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Love that movie as well. Very much so like that. In fact, I'm glad you said that. No one has said that.
Yeah. It's
anyway, it's fun. It's a fun ride. I love, my stuff is just in the very beginning, kind of. And
yeah.
I don't have a whole lot to do, but I get to play opposite Thomas Jane, and he and I really got into it sparring on the set. Like, the director just let us go, and it was a lot of fun. I had one of the most enjoyable days I've ever had.
He seems like a cool dude as well. And then you have also Becky G, who was in the Transformers movie. We had her in the studio here. She's she's pretty talented. She's pretty wild.
She actually rips this thing up. She blew me away, to be honest with you, when I saw it. I just saw it.
Yeah.
And I was, because she's pretty low-key. You know, when on set, she's very low-key, and she was in the makeup room. She sang every song that came on the radio. She knew the words to even Golden Oldies. And she was really talented. And she's got sort of like a Selena Gomez thing going.
Yeah, yeah. And she's sort of like, she has like an old soul. She seems a lot more mature than she is. She's pretty young.
Right on the nail.
Yeah.
She really is an old soul. And this is, they make a great combo, by the way. And she does a great job of this movie. The cast is good, the story is good, and you know, people who like animals,
yes,
are going to like this too. There's going to be that whole element of people who really are into dogs that will say, "Well, I'm not going to watch a, you know, some sort of automated dog." And it's amazing that sensibility of a boy and his dog come about as well.
It transcends, yeah.
It's in theaters this Friday. I want to talk about something I did not know about you, Ted, until we did a little bit of research. But you played water polo. You had a full ride to USC, but lost it because you did some modeling for a sporting goods magazine. And that must have really sucked. That must have floored you when that happened.
Yeah, it was at the time. You know, I was on we only had half rides. I had to split a scholarship with the guy because it's water polo. Nobody gives a
fuck. Yeah, yeah. It's just water polo.
But that was considered a big deal anyway in California. And but I had we boycotted the Olympics in 80, and I was hoping to try to make team in 84, and I was playing for the U.S. junior team. And so that's sort of what I was aiming for. And all of a sudden I was kicked out because I was doing an ad. And actually, it was a Speedo ad, and some guys were talking to me. And the next day, it was actually in the L.A. Times. It's a full-page ad.
Ah.
He asked the captain of USC water polo team, an MVP, why he wears Speedos.
Oh.
And next thing you know, it's in the paper.
Yeah.
Everything I said. And I had no idea that, you know, that was going to happen. I had no idea. Anyway, the guy single-handedly crushed me, and that was it. They took away my scholarship and wanted me to pay back 2 years plus.
That sucks. But you know what? As with, good.
If it hadn't been for that, I would have never been in this business.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. So you know, the opportunities came because of that, and everything fell right where it should have. But so your first role was on Happy Days. Your first TV show.
Well, the very first thing thing I did. I did a movie of the week with Jack Albertson and Mary Martin called Valentine.
Okay.
Where I'm just like some young stud that ran on the beach, and I kicked his ass, and then at the end of the movie, he kicked my ass.
You kicked Jack Albertson's ass.
But I didn't have any words. It was so funny. Well, I mean, I think when I saw the movie, they put in some guy with a much lower voice.
you know, it's what's great, Ted, is that
was my first intro to the business. Anyway, and then I went into Happy Days, and that was my first job. I had no idea what I was doing.
You're joining a huge show at that time, Pop. Even though there had been a couple of cast departures, you're joining a show that is still super huge. Fonzie, arguably. A pop icon, just historic levels, and you're on the set. You have to be going, what the hell's happening?
Yeah, I mean, literally, I would run home from evening workouts when I was swimming and try to get home in time so I could watch Happy Days.
Yeah.
And literally, 4.5 years later, I was on the show.
Wow.
And it, you know, with, like, my biggest worry was, am I going to pass out when I walk out on stage? Because it's live.
Yeah.
So not only am I doing a TV show, and I know nothing about cameras, I don't know anything about jokes and rhythms, but also it's a live show in front of a live audience. So what am I going to do? And all I was worried about was just don't faint. The whole time I was worried about fainting. So it's quite an education, and I learned from the best. I mean, imagine I'm there with Marianne Ross, Tom Bosley, Henry Winkler, who I was playing opposite. Poor Henry had to put up with me the whole time. And it was magic. I lucked out.
That is awesome.
Well, one of your most iconic characters was Stan Gable in Revenge of the Nerds. And I was curious about the filming of that movie. I remember hearing tales of Animal House. And those guys that were in the Delta House, and the guys that were in the, and I forgot the name of the other, the douchebag.
Yeah. Niedermeyer.
Like, they kept that dynamic, Alpha Beta. No, not Alpha Beta. You were an Alpha Beta. No, they kept that dynamic of separating themselves from each other and made it almost contentious like that.
Purposely.
On purpose. Any similarities on Revenge of the Nerds?
Very much so.
No kidding.
Very much so. Well, I don't think ours was intentional. I think, actually, originally, we just didn't like each other.
Really? Wow.
I thought, you know, Robert Carradine was pompous, and I thought Booger was a weird freak. And, I'm like, who are these guys? And, I didn't know enough that I just wasn't very clever, I think, when it came to the business. Anyway, and so it was very contentious for about 2 weeks.
That is wild. It actually makes it even more enjoyable to know that it was actually somewhat rooted in real contention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I truly hated them.
That's awesome.
We had 2 weeks where we shot all night. We'd get there at 5 in the afternoon, and we'd work till 6 in the morning every day. And so it was such a weird universe. And we would all come back to the trailers in between shots, and everybody would be coming up with bits. I mean, we literally, the actors, wrote and changed and came up with bits constantly in that movie.
Wow.
And we did a ton of improv, and then the director would say, okay, let me see it. And he'd show it to him, and he'd say, great, or he'd say no. And it was brilliant. And he was really, I loved that he was clever enough to let guys try it first and then say yes or no. And Busfield, Tim Busfield, who played the redheaded kid with the violin, you remember?
Yes.
Poindexter.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, he was coming up with stuff. Like every 10 seconds, he would come up with a new bit, and one out of every 8 would be good. So you're like, no. No.
Ted, you were in the first one. You were in Revenge of the Nerds, and you were in Revenge of the Nerds 3. Why weren't you in the second one?
Well, they offered me a part that sucked, and I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if they didn't like me. I don't know what their problem was, but it just wasn't a good part, and I think they were just trying to move around me, and I said, I'm not interested. I mean, I want to do something good or not.
Yeah,
it was funny, though, because it introduced us into another jerk in Bradley Whitford in Revenge of the Nerds 2. And, you know, it's funny what your perception on actors is, because you see guys like you or like Bradley Whitford, and you're like, yeah, that guy's got to be a douchebag in real life, too. And it turns out it's just acting.
Well, I'm kind of a douchebag.
You're kind of a douchebag. Well, you are kind of douchebag, yeah.
You know that you're calling me right now. I'm in Madrid, Spain.
Is that right?
I did not know that.
Buenos dias!
yeah, bravo. I always speak Italian for some reason. my wife and I are having a little vacation, so this is absolute heaven. It's so much fun to talk to you guys from here.
Well, we appreciate you. By the way, your phone connection is better than people who call locally. Yeah. So,
call from down the street.
Yes, it's always call from Spain.
Yeah.
A couple of quick questions concerning some of your other stuff, because then we'll get you said it when you're in Philadelphia, we're going to get you in here. How much of a blast was it to move from the stuff you'd done into, at that time, Married with Children was as boundary-pushing as you could be on television and become a part of that show?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because Happy Days was one of these communities where, and by the way, I went from Happy Days to the Love Boat,
yeah,
where I could take, so my mom and dad and my family would come, and they would go to the shows and sit in the stands and watch a show, Happy Days. And then we went to the Love Boat, and sometimes they could go with me on cruises or I could take friends, you know, whatever. And they would go, and so it was like magic. And then I went into, and I went to Married with Children, and I think they were in complete shock. Like, what? And they didn't know what to think of it. And it was so much fun for me because it was a completely different audience.
Yeah.
It was, like, we were the very beginning of having metal detectors on a set. And we'd have these guys that would come in to watch the live show. And if you sat there by the entrance, you'd hear, like, just buckets of chains, knives. You know, it was, they were just nonstop emptying their pockets, and then they would say, okay, walk through.
That's great. All right, I think we have to move on. You might be getting the move along.
That's hilarious, man. Listen.
Well, I promise you, I'm going to look you up because if I stop by, I can always write my trip off.
Yes!
Dude, yeah. Come
and
on
he's
in.
Practical, too. We will spend a lot of time with you.
I love it. All right, well, listen, Axl opens in theaters everywhere on Friday. Don't miss it. Ted McGinley is in it. And listen, enjoy. Go back to vacation, man. Enjoy your time in Madrid, and we'll catch up with you in here in Philly sometime, okay?
I appreciate you all. Thank you so much for having me.
You're the best. Ted McGinley,
yeah,
guys.
Oh, man.
That was awesome.
That's awesome.
Just knew he
was
the
best.
Yeah, I love him. We got to get him out. All right. We got to take a break. We got to wrap up. We could have kept talking to him, but we got to fit some commercials in here. And we got to get back because our buddy Bert Kreischer is calling in. His special, which was filmed in Philadelphia, is opening tomorrow. Starts streaming tomorrow. Be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, gang, it's Preston. Listen, these days, you know how it is. You can get practically everything you want on demand. I mean, it's like our podcast. You listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. But did you know that you can even get postage on demand? Hey, all you need is stamps.com. What is that? Well, I'm here to tell you, friends, with stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office and do it right from your desk. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just click, you print, you mail, and you're done, my friend. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale so you can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every single time. Here's what you got to do to get it all, gang. Right now, use Gadzooks for a special free offer. They have a 4-week trial that includes postage and the digital scale. So don't wait on this. You want to check it out now. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the word Gadzooks. Once again, that's stamps.com and enter Gadzooks. Check this out.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest has his special streaming starting tomorrow.
And yes.
It was shot right here in Philadelphia at the the Trocadero. They set up a special stage and everything for him. And since he is Kathy's godfather from her quinceañera, I figure I'll play some Mexican music just to bring him on board. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our dear friend, Mr. Bert Kreischer.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're awesome, man. How are you?
Oh, great. I just had a 45-minute parenting session about how we're not allowed to wake up in bad moods in this house.
So who is the perpetrator of this bad mood wake up?
Oh, my lunatic child, Isla, just decided she would come in and wreak havoc on the kitchen with her attitude. And then I had to explain, hey, what if I woke up and just came ranting into your room like Bill Burr at 5 in the morning? Let me tell you the problem with the NFL.
So, your kids, though, seem to, you know, we all follow you on Instagram and the whole deal. And I mean, you seem to be a fun dad. Do the kids in tone and attitude follow closer to you or your wife?
Oh, I don't even know these children. One of them is so chipper and so positive and so on time and doing so much homework. I'm like, she's definitely making meth with her friends.
It's that bad, is it?
And the other one literally comes in like a heel from professional wrestling every day.
Wow. And did you look at them? I don't have kids, but I know of situations like this where there's all the kids in a family favor one parent completely, and it seems like the other parent was just an afterthought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the good parent. Yeah. I'm the winner.
You're the winner.
If there's anything anyone wants, they come to me. If there's anything that they think might be questionable in delivery, it comes to me. they avoid my, but now if there's anything, like if they're sick or if they need their toenails cut or anything, like anything practical, Leanne gets.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, they're useless. I always say in an apocalypse, my kids would be good for two things. Target practice and meat for stew.
Meat for stew.
All right. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, there was a post on your Instagram account from a few weeks back where it was you naked, and we've all seen that before, but what I hadn't seen was it covered up with letters, dong. And you, first of all, you're hung, which is impressive. Second of all, it seems like you had to edit and then repost that photo. Is that correct?
Oh, it got taken down.
It did. All right.
It caught me by surprise, Bert.
I thought it was funny if you could just see a little bit, the killjoy of it.
The killjoy.
But yeah, that's a reference that only our grandparents are going to get.
Yeah, killjoy was here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
Kilroy.
Kilroy. Yeah. That's it.
And Rogan texted me, and he's like, bro, I can see your junk legit, Matt.
Yeah. You could.
Yeah. And then it got like 25,000 likes, and I was like, nice. And then one day it's gone, and I was like, great, I guess I'll make the letters bigger.
I took a screenshot and sent it to someone. I'm like, I know you do some crazy stuff, but I was like, you can see it, right?
Oh, yeah. I really have had to talk with my daughters and, like, listen, if anyone brings up my Instagram or my Netflix special, do not watch it.
Well, speaking of said Netflix special, which Preston pointed out, we shot here at the truck. Here's a review from Forbes. The Forbes review says Bert Kreischer's Secret Time review. Bert's latest proves his act can survive middle age and beyond. It was a really good review. Are you reading reviews or do you give a rat's ass?
No, I read that one, by the way.
It was a good review. Yeah, he was definitely... He was
Forbes.
Yeah,
from Forbes.
From freaking Forbes.
Who knew that Wall Street was watching specials? I mean, that's kind of like getting a restaurant review from a blind guy who can't hear. He's like, oh, I guess, yeah, this is good. I mean...
It's a really good review, and they go through the fact that you've, and the thing that I thought was really kind of very perceptive about the reviewer's take on you is that you're the king of bad behavior, but you take ownership of it, and you're never like it's almost there's almost sort of a constant running second channel saying, don't try this at home, you know?
Yeah, look, you guys have known me a while.
Yeah.
I've never lied about who I am, and I'm never going to start. Like,
right,
I'm a mess up. I, like, one of the things everyone's always said, like, it's true, but, like, I went to a parent-teacher conference one time with two Diet Cokes, and when I got there, I took a sip. And realized I had a Coors Light.
Oh,
and,
my God. It's a great story. go ahead.
But like, I'm not going to lie. My wife knows who I am. My kids know who I am. You guys know who I am. And so I think it's refreshing. Maybe, I mean, I'm overthinking my own material. I think it's refreshing to see a guy just be exactly who he is on stage. That's what Segura said to me. He watched it, and he goes, bro, this is you. From the shirt off to you telling secrets to you. Like, he goes, this is so you. It's like the perfect special for you.
Yeah.
I was like, that's all you want to hear.
And I was watching that, and you were definitely touched by that. But the truth of the matter is, I remember leading up to it when you were here and when you were you did the two nights. I mean, listen, you've been a pro at this for a long time, but there was some hand wringing going on. You were definitely, you're definitely putting it on the line there. You could sense that, and to get the response back like this has to be a big sigh. That you did it.
Oh, let me tell you, there are 600 people in Philadelphia right now that are going, wait, I was at that early show. It wasn't that good.
Bert,
go ahead. That special, I had run it 150 times before I did it for the special. I had toured it like crazy, and I had rearranged it 19 different ways, and I just wanted it so that when you turn on Netflix, you watch your first 7 minutes or whatever you give a special. And I was looking, I was like, I just want to make sure they're laughing at the beginning and they go, all right, I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah.
And then at 30 minutes, you're like, oh, this is really good. And then in an hour, you're like, shut up. That's how we end this thing.
Yeah.
And everyone that was at the truck knows there is a special secret ending to it where I guarantee you, everyone's going to be like, shut up.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, the name of it being Secret Time, you're delving into some things that you haven't shared before. Any of that material were you teetering with, man, I don't know if I can reveal that much.
No.
Really?
it's not an issue.
So, you know me. I say that I have a problem oversharing. Mm-hmm. So everything in there is like, I had to sit and have dinner with my daughters and be like, just so you know, Daddy has a special coming out, and I talk pretty openly about you guys. And they're like what? And I go, well, I open saying you guys are idiots. And they're like, wait, we're not idiots. I was like, eh, you kind of are. And George is like, wait, what stories do you tell? And I tell them the stories about them, and they're like, oh, those are honest mistakes.
They're honest mistakes. Well, let me ask you, as far as to that point, Have you ever had a situation where you said something? I mean, being candid and being out there, it's what you're known for. We know that. But have you ever had something that you thought, geez, now that when you had time to think about it, I shouldn't have gone there?
Oh, yeah, this entire special.
Yeah. This entire special is that moment.
It's not what you think in a special that I regret.
Like, yeah.
And it's just, and all it is it's being honest. Like, I genuinely, and I think any parent will know, I regret mentioning that I ate an edible when they went to bed. Like, and that's like, I just, they're going to see that one day and then go, wait, Dad was doing drugs? I said to my wife, I regret talking about our sex stuff because they're going to see that one day in college. They'll be sitting with their friends. Someone will be like, yo, your dad's on Netflix? Shut up. This is your dad's special? And they'll be like, oh, yeah. And then they'll be like, hear about my wife and me sexually. And I'm like, can you imagine if you heard your dad confidently strutting on stage shirtless and being like, let me tell you about when my wife,
No, trust me. So here's my slight brush with it. I've told the story on the air coming back, early from being out and catching my mother pleasuring my dad on the couch.
Jeez.
Yeah, so the scars run deep. So it's good that you had to sort of pre-chat with your kids, to prep them for this.
Imagine if your dad was waxing poetically about strutting on a stage.
Right, exactly. No, it's true. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Bert, every time we have you on, and we've known you for a long time, my friends get in touch with me because you remind them of our friend growing up named Brett, and you know, same number of letters, and it's just an anagram of the letters. It's eerie how much you remind us of him. But I'm wondering if every town you go to that happens, because you sort of are an every guy. Are there a lot of people, a lot of high school dudes who are like, hey, you're just like my buddy blank from growing up?
Oh, yeah. And then they always have that friend with them at the meet and greet. And right. They're like, you're just like the tank. Come over here. And then you meet the guy and you're like, wow, he's 480 pounds.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, it's the worst where you're just like this guy. This guy? Yeah.
No, yeah. It's not so much your personality. It's like you both have rosacea on your cheek. Look. Like, okay. Yeah, I get that. I've been getting that my whole life, though. Like, honestly, I'd go to parties, even when before I was a comic, you'd go to like a dinner party and they're like, oh my God, you're just like, and it's some ex-convict. Like, oh, that's so cool. Is he going to make it out, do you think?
Well, thank you. I'm glad I could remind you of that person. I wanted to ask you about the meticulous nature of the setup and actually executing the show while you were here. And you told us that you had them sort of reconfigure and build an addition onto the stage. Now, seeing the previews for it, it looks really cool because we're very familiar with the truck, but that sort of sub stage that's lower that puts you closer to the audience, I think that really serves it well.
I'll tell you the progression of all my stand up specials. So the Comedy Central one I did, I had friends tell me, I thought it was horrible. And I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, you're wearing a shirt. It just doesn't make sense. It's not you. And I was like, okay. So then I go to the next one and they're like, it was good. I just didn't like the club. And that's when I was like, all right, I got to do the truck. But I literally was hands on. I was like, I want the stage is high. It's like a 8-foot stage. I was like, we got to drop it down. But I don't want like a diving board, which is what they normally do.
Yeah.
I was like, I need it. And I have a joke where I talk about my daughter missing a fly ball in softball. And I was like, I need to move 6 feet. And they're like, okay. So we did this great oval shape. And then here's my favorite part of the whole special. And this is like the little thing that I love. They wanted to bring in a smoke machine. And I've seen that before, and it just looks cheesy. Mm-hmm. And those smoke machines give me asthma.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to have an asthma attack in the middle thing. So they do no smoke machine. And in the back, because of that, the lighting is so beautifully blue. And you see all the little dust speckles that would be in the truck from like the 1800s
yeah,
that are
yeah.
now rustled up.
Yeah.
Just raising behind me, and it looks so cool.
It's nice. It's a very cool theater, and just again, just watching the teaser, it looks pretty amazing. And to the point of the super special ending, you obviously seen the Netflix special, the finished product, I should say. Everything makes it into it, and it's exactly what you want. Are you saying we will be stunned when we see the ending of the special?
In my opinion, I think every single person, I think every single person who's seen me do stand up ever is going to see the end and go, yes. I will tell you right now, it's Philadelphia.
Okay. Love it.
It's Philadelphia. You know the type of people that live in Philadelphia. Spoiler alert, 280-pound dude, big Eagles tattoo, rips off his shirt in the balcony. He definitely made the cut. Okay?
All right. Love
it. Let's just say when Philly – you know what Philly wants when I go on stage.
Yes.
When Philly wants what Philly wants, Philly gets what Philly wants.
Perfect.
And I'm telling you, it was a little unexpected. It was 600 people. The end gives me chill bumps.
Okay.
It gives me chill bumps.
Okay.
And it was the truck, and it is that Philly energy all throughout. At one point, my daughter said, Dad, break a leg. And my wife goes, that's not why they say it. They say it because in old days you wanted them to stomp. There's one point, not even like 5 minutes into the special, where they are stomping so loud, I thought they were going to take down the Trocadero.
Wow. That's awesome.
Wow. Hey,
I'm telling you, Philly is the perfect place to do a special. I want to do all my specials in Philly. It was that much of an energy.
Excellent.
Hey, I wanted to congratulate you on finishing. Was it your first sprint triathlon?
First sprint triathlon. I ran a marathon, a half marathon, a Spartan race, a Tough Mudder, and now a sprint triathlon. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Dude, we look at the footage, and it almost seems you're there, and you can almost see the people around you being annoyed that you're clearly not, you know, you just, I don't know, it's just your physicality or whatever. The fact that you have this endurance, did you just go for it and hope you had it, or did you always suspect you had the capability to do this?
Well, I knew I could do a 10-mile bike ride, 3-run. It was the swimming that made me nervous.
All right.
But, yeah, when I got out there, the guy said, when I went to register, the guy goes, "Oh, you must be here for the Clydesdale event." And I was like, "No, I'm just a regular triathlete." And he goes, "Easy, buddy. I don't know about that."
Wow.
Well, I'm
yeah,
looking.
I was the biggest guy.
Yeah,
I was the biggest guy.
And I followed you, you know, because you you're very active on social media. I don't know if anybody ever told you that, but I followed you the whole way. I've done a couple of sprint triathlons in my day. I did one last year, and I was trying to figure out, you know, if I was able to compete with you as far as the splits were concerned. And you actually, you crushed it. If I'm looking at your splits correctly, you had an 11-minute time in the swim, 37 in the bike, and then a 30-minute run. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's damn good.
That is damn good. That is damn good. But
so no, you couldn't compare.
Well, I mean, my swim.
Let's do a sprint triathlon Schuylkill.
He swam the Schuylkill. We had to
I did do one in the Schuylkill. As a matter of fact,
yeah,
they do one every June. But no, the one that I did last year is it's coming up this Saturday in Wildwood. It's called Try the Wildwoods. Yeah, I'm looking at you had really nice splits. I think mine was further than yours, but my run was terrible. I did a 5K in a little less than an hour, but I can't run. So, I basically ran that one.
Well, what happened is I got in the water and, you know, ultimately I'm extremely competitive.
Yes.
I know that people don't see that in me, but I get in the water and I start swimming towards the buoy and I realize these idiots on the left and right are swimming way wide. They're not even in the race. They're like, I don't even know where they're going.
Yeah.
And then I look up for my spotting and I go, I'm number 4. I'm like the 4th year. I was like, shut up, man.
That's amazing.
Are these people not train?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is so silly. And so I'm like tapping the toes of the guy in front of me with my fingers. And I'm like, I'm going right at the buoy. I'm going to hit the turn and I'm going to fly in. I was like, you know what? I'm going to punch it. I hit the buoy. I make a tight turn. I do this move I've seen on the internet where you kind of flip on your back and roll over. And the second I do that, Chinese guy jumps on my stomach, sinks me down 5 feet, and leapfrogs me. And I'm like, suck in water. I start drowning. Get up. Another guy. It is like a mosh pit in 50 feet of water.
Wow.
And I am getting drowned. And that, I swear to God, not that it would have taken that much time off my time, but I should have done what everyone else did, is just swam wide away from everyone else.
Yeah.
Because I was in the mix of it, and they were competing, and they almost drowned me. I waved at one of the guys on a surfboard, and he's like, are you okay? I was like, don't do this, Bert. Don't do this. I was like, yep, just hanging through. You're having a good day.
Damn, man. But kudos to you on that. And what I love is, again, following you on social media, man, I remember you talking about you wanted that pool, that backyard pool. You used the F out of that pool.
Oh, yeah.
You're in it constantly.
I'm in it nonstop. My daughters have never used it. My wife has never used it. I go in. I'm in there so much, I almost got in naked this morning to do this interview.
You should have.
Yeah, I love that damn pool. There's nothing better than a cocktail and a cigar, watching the outdoor TV. Oh, that is why we tour.
Hell yes, it is.
Nice, man. All right, well, listen, we got to wrap this thing up, but obviously everybody here is excited to see to see the special and to see Philadelphia and the Troc and how it turned out, and it will be streaming officially tomorrow on Netflix. So even if you weren't there, if you were there, obviously you're going to watch it. But if you weren't there, the surprise ending, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm on board for this. We got to make sure you check it out.
Dude, it's Philly. I'm telling you. It's Philly.
Awesome, brother.
We love it, man. Congratulations.
Right. Yeah, nice job, bud.
Hey, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. I love you guys. I'll see you soon.
All right, we love you too. Bert Kreischer, guys.
Yeah!
Got to catch up with him soon in the studio again.
Yeah, he'll be on. I think he's on Conan on Monday night as
okay.
well.
Okay. All right, nice. Let's take a break and come back in a moment. But as we are taking a break, I have Mile 22, run of engagement passes to see this new movie, Mark Wahlberg, and the good Monday through Thursday at any Regal Cinemas in Philadelphia, or in the Philadelphia area, I should say. So let's take callers 8 and 9 at 215-263-WMMR, and we'll set you up. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay there.
Here comes the MMR.
What's going on?
From 8:30 to 10:30, Marissa Magnata rocks Barnaby's Havertown, 1901 Old Westchester Pike. Enjoy Miller Lite specials, enter to win Eagles tickets, and qualify to see them play on October 28th in London with the Preston and Steve Show. From WMMR, Miller Lite, and the Green Legion, visit greenlegion.com to book your birds trip. From Miller Lite, great taste at only 96 calories. Join Jackie Bam Bam Saturday from 6 to 8 at Cowtown Rodeo, 780 Harding Highway, Piles Grove, New Jersey. See the best show on dirt featuring bull riding, steer wrestling, bareback riding, tie down roping, and much more. Visit cowtownrodeo.com. MMR's Big Friggin' Deal. This week only, get a ticket to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race on October 7th, plus a trackside access pass at Dover International Speedway for only $52. That's a 50% discount. Get it through Sunday or while supplies last at WMMR.com.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Alrighty, shall we dive back into some stories of the bizarre?
Yes, indeed.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by the Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center. Try a different approach to addiction treatment. Log on to center4healing.com and discover freedom over addiction. I love this story. A man in China had to be rescued after getting his finger stuck in a sex toy vending machine.
All right.
Sex toy vending machine.
The man, known only as Zhu, said that he was trying to reach a product that he had paid for through a small hole when his hand was jammed in there.
It's like when a bag of chips gets jammed in our vending machine.
Yeah, only this was a sex toy in a vending machine.
Did they specify what kind?
No, they didn't. Zhu was trapped for 20 minutes or so before being freed. The incident took place near a clinic, and he claimed that he had paid for the unspecified product on his cell phone, but the product failed to drop to the vending machine's receiving slot. He claimed that to police that he had called the machine's customer service hotline, but the representatives weren't able to help, and therefore he had to solve the problem by himself.
Can't reach these butt plugs.
After seeing a small hole on a panel of the machine, Zhu decided to put his right ring finger into the hole.
Big mistake.
In a bid to reach the product, but his finger got firmly stuck once he jammed it in there. Zhu had to call firefighters for help. The report said that the rescuers used a special polishing machine to cut through the panel before using a stick to crack it open.
I'd be leery of putting anything in any open hole in a sex vending machine.
Yeah. By the way, it says he paid for it on his phone. Are there vending machines that you can...
Apparently there are.
I would think that would make sense, right? That you'd be able to do a payment through your phone,
pick
right
it
into
up.
It, and then they'll give you maybe a code to punch in. I don't know, Marissa?
There's a commercial where there's a football player that like walks past a machine and holds a cell phone up, and it's like Apple Pay or something like that. So it like scans it just like that.
That's there's actually cool. a dealership car That's... company that advertises. They actually have like car vending machines. Have you seen those?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's... I'll get it from the dealer
rather than a
vending machine.
I'd like to sit in it for a second if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is hard to be on top of your game when you're intoxicated. There's some rules to a successful night of drinking. One of them is making sure that you have the Holy Trinity, your phone, your wallet, and your keys. Two, you don't drive. Three, you got to get home safely. Well, Thomas Airlie probably thought that he was in the clear when he ordered a taxi to take him to his parents' house to sleep off a night out with the guys. So he entered the residence, took off his shoes at the door, went to the kitchen, got some juice, laid down on the couch, and all was well, except that his parents did not live in that house in Glasgow, Scotland anymore, and they hadn't lived there for 2 years.
Are they tight? Do they ever talk?
I think he was just too drunk to remember. Yeah. Elaine McDade, a dance teacher, a mother of two, lived there, and while Thomas proved to be very polite... It still is a scary situation to realize there's a 26-year-old stranger in your home. She and her children were in bed watching TV when she went to get a drink, and that's when she spotted him lying there. She had written, "So myself, Miko, and Maya went to bed. I came to the kitchen for a drink and thought I saw things moved about and drinks out of the fridge. I then went back to bed, and then when I got up again, heard noises from my TV room, thinking that it was a dog's. But when I saw him, I woke him up straight away. I even asked him if he used to live here or if he lived in the same street now and had just gone to the wrong door. She called her husband, who was at work, and he arrived to drive Arlie home. They were very, very nice.
That's very accommodating.
It. Yeah.
I would have freaked out.
But Arlie couldn't remember where he lived, so McCade's husband dropped him at a supermarket. Someone who knew his parents eventually sent him the photo. McCade had taken a picture of him on her couch, and he apologized to her most profusely on Facebook.
"My name and address is sewn into my underwear."
In the end, everyone was safe, save for some ribbing from Arlie's friend. So,
hammered
into the wrong house. Well, a naked man who was seen running around was detained by police officers and taken to a local hospital Sunday, according to the Sacramento Police Department. According to police, the man walked into multiple businesses completely nude and grabbing his genitals. This was a police department spokesperson said he was extremely combative and he became increasingly
violent. "These are my testicles!"
Violent once he was detained. Police responded to the scene. The man began running away, and when officers eventually caught up and attempted to put him in handcuffs, he resisted. Additionally, officers arrived on scene and were eventually able to detain the man. A witness said, "I had gone out in front of the building across from the public market, and I noticed a crazy naked guy in front of Bottle and Barlow." She said the man was a strong young person, and she then watched him jump over the bar's barricade and briefly sat with a customer who was sitting outside.
"What are you looking for today?"
And then tried to climb one of the bar's patio heaters. So you know those things on the pole?
Yeah.
That are out there. People on the street inside the business looked on. Some called the police. Many filmed the strange sight on their phones. And she said, "It put me on edge because of the way he was acting, yelling, climbing things, running after people, and it wasn't cool."
So the way he was acting less than the way he was naked?
Yes, I think so. Eventually,
that guy's acting strange.
Transported to a hospital to receive medical treatment.
That naked guy, he's something weird.
Members of a family in Northern Virginia fell ill and needed hospital attention after eating a meal containing wild mushrooms picked near their apartment complex. Washington Post reported Wednesday that they experienced vomiting and stomach pains a few hours after eating the mushrooms. Officials say poison control and crews from the fire department scoured around the Annandale apartment complex, finding mushrooms in a courtyard in a bid to identify them. They sent pictures of the mushrooms to family members as they were being treated at the hospital. The mushrooms are known as chlorophyllum mylobidites or green spored lepiota, also known as the vomiter.
Oh, man.
So that's what they call these mushrooms, vomiters.
I'd be very leery.
Officials say the mushrooms are a severe gastrointestinal irritant when eaten, but they do not cause liver failure or death.
What about those big-ass, we have these white mushrooms. Those are not edible mushrooms,
right? I don't
think
so, no.
I have no idea.
If I'm not getting it at a store, I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah. Mushrooms are one of those things that...
You don't screw with them.
And I love mushrooms. Yeah. And even the ones you see in the wild, you're like, man, that looks kind of tasty. No way.
Nope.
No way in hell. I mean, they flat out kill you. They're poison, some of them.
Yeah, so
I don't know my way around wild mushrooms.
Yeah, I was going to say, so how are we able to eat mushrooms then? If
They're not of a certain variety that have something in there that can cause liver failure.
Yeah, trial and error, Kathy.
Yes. But honestly, think about the whole process of the food that we ingest as humans over the years.
Yep.
Someone had to say, "I'll try it."
There's a great book, if you go to REI, of foods that you can eat in the wild, you know, stuff that you can harvest, and mushrooms included. And have you guys ever read or saw the movie Into the Wild?
Yep. Yes.
So he was mistaken in a food that he thought that he could eat, a wild food, and it was it looked very similar to something that is edible, and he was eating the inedible version of it.
Yeah.
And it ultimately led to his demise.
Nick, we have a pear tree that was part of the house when we bought it in the backyard, and there are pears all over it. And I pull one down, and I'm like, "I can't do it! I can't do it!"
How are you going to be okay with pears?
I know, but...
You never know.
Oh, no, no. That's a that's a Slovakian pear tree. Right, there. Right.
Well, we had, like, crabapple trees in our neighborhood growing up, and I assume you can eat a crabapple, but...
Yeah, sure you can. They don't taste any good, but, yeah. They're very, very sour. But, yeah, we used to go picking wild... blackberries when I lived in South Carolina. They grew all over the place.
Yeah.
And we just eat them right off the plant, you know. But, yeah, you got to be careful with mushrooms, man.
We have peaches, peaches, pears, and grapes growing in our backyard.
Really?
Yeah.
Careful with the peaches because they can attract bees. Like if you let them go or if you let them rot and
any
fall
fruit,
on the ground.
Really, right?
Yeah, but peaches especially for whatever reason. Like if they end up collecting on the ground, they can be fodder for wasps and bees.
I like to dab the peaches and the bees.
Okay.
It gives a little kick to it.
All right. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File. Let's break. Come back in a second. Lesson question is on the agenda. We'll see if you know your stuff about today's program. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Always happy to hear Learn to Fly from Foo Fighters. 93.3 WMMR. We've been doing this rock thing for 50 years. I'd like to think we know what we're doing. We have yet another year that we're going to be celebrating this weekend on MMR as we continue to celebrate those 50. And 1994 is the year that we will be exploring. And a lot of great new music came out in 1994. Green Day, Soundgarden, Nine Inch Nails, Pearl Jam.
Wow.
Hold, Beastie Boys. Wow, this is right in the thick of just a lot of great tunes. STP, Weezer, they all had new music that year. R.E.M. did, too. So that's coming up this weekend, sponsored by Thompson Toyota and Thompson BMW. Don't miss out on these highlighted weekends. We have a good time with them. I'm going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see Dane Cook. He's playing Friday, September 7th at the Hard Rock. And the question, let me see here. How about, what was the theme for Casey's Trunk or Treat? Well, not really. It's not the camping theme. It's one Steve thought they did.
Oh, okay.
All right. So what was the theme that Casey thought that Steve thought Casey's family did for Trunk or Treat? And it's not
That's hard, man.
The camping one is the ones you went with, but Steve mentioned it. 215-263-WMMR. We make these a bit challenging from time to time.
Yep. Yes.
Let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you this morning by Universal Technical Institute, the UTI Power and Performance Car Show, coming September 22nd at the Universal Technical Institute campus, open house in Exton. Details at EliteTurner.net. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Jersey Shore's Ronnie Ortiz Margro reportedly had a full-blown meltdown after being called a, quote, deranged psychopath by on-again, off-again girlfriend Jen Harley. Harley later walked back the comment, saying she jokingly called Ortiz a deranged psychopath, the same way you would call anyone a deranged psychopath if you're relatively certain they desperately wanted to murder you.
Wow. Rattlers!
Guardians of the Galaxy star Chris Pratt has only been dating lifestyle blogger Katherine Schwarzenegger for a couple months, but rumors suggest the two are already heading towards marriage. Comparing Katherine to her dad, Arnold Pratt says she effortlessly weaves words together into a verbal tapestry, while Arnold still has trouble saying escalator. And finally, Angelina Jolie fervently denying a tabloid report that she's furious at George and Amal Clooney for taking Brad Pitt's side in their separation and their divorce. Jolie says if she was really furious, she would have cut both brake lines on Clooney's motor scooter.
Wow.
That's a Hollywood Trash. You know, Amal is coming to Philadelphia in October.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was trying to see if we could get her on.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome. We could do mixed jar farts again.
Mixed martial arts for six jar farts.
I don't think so. It's for a women's conference, so I'm not sure they're going to be into that.
We'll put little ribbons on them.
Like women don't smell farts.
Right. Yeah. Come on. I'm just saying it might be something that she doesn't want to do.
We're not asking her to fart in a jar.
No, my God, that would be disgusting.
I mean, how dare you?
But we're not saying that she can't fart in a jar. She wants to.
So I was going to mention the conference, hoping that maybe they would hear and be like, oh, yeah, we'll get her on there. But let's do this again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll do this again.
We'll do it again.
At a different time when you guys don't want to mention the jar.
Let's rehearse. Bring it up again.
Can you rewind for a second?
Yeah. Just for a second.
Hey, do you guys know that Amal is coming to Philadelphia?
Oh, my God. Wow. Is it for that women's conference?
Yes. For the fart conference.
Oh, she's a perfect choice. You just killed it.
Casey. Oh,
God damn you.
We could have had clean audio.
Hey, Kathy, you have something to say about Amal Clooney?
Yeah, did you guys know that Amal is coming to Philadelphia?
For the fart conference? Oh, damn it, now you made me do it. All right.
Kathy, what were you saying? I saw a story about George and Amal Clooney.
Yeah, did you know that Amal's coming to Philadelphia in October?
I hear she's very gassy. All right, try it again.
Serena Williams is coming, too. I'm trying for both of them.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Mm.
Serena definitely farts.
All right.
Thanks for trying, though, guys. I appreciate it.
We're looking for an answer. What was
fart conference?
There is literally no chance now. It's not going to happen. You just
blew it. Oh, stop it. She's coming here. I got jars and everything.
Do us a favor. Send her the copy, a copy of the Ted McGinley interview.
That was good.
That'll work.
All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to this question. What was the theme for Casey? We ran out of music.
Oh, my God.
That's never that happened happen? For the... 215-263-WMMR is the number. I'm going to go... Casey's theme. I'll go to Bernadette. Hey, Bernadette.
Hi, Preston.
Hi. Do you know the answer, by the way?
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go, yes, because there were two different things.
Yes, it was.
Hang on a second. It was either Gone Girl, but Casey had also said The Pit in Silence of the Lambs. So, Bernadette, hang on a second. We're going to get your information. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Mr. Dane Cook Friday, September 7th at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! What a fart.
It's brought to you by Armor Metals and Recycling. In any of the construction trades, Armor Metal and Recycling pays top dollar for all metals, wires, motors, and peripheries. 8300 National Highway in Pensauken, or you can call them at 856-665-5715. Corn singer Jonathan Davis has issued a statement on the passing of his estranged wife, Devin Davis, who was found dead on Friday at the age of 39. The former model's cause of death has not yet been revealed, but she reportedly suffered with sobriety and substance abuse throughout her life. In remarks posted on his social media channels, Jonathan wrote the following. He said, "Over the last few days, there's been a lot of speculation over what really happened surrounding the death of my wife, Devin, and I want my voice to be heard." He said, "Over the past decade, my wife has been very, very sick. She had a very serious mental illness, and her addiction was a side effect. I loved her with all of my being. When she was her true self, she was an amazing wife, amazing mother, an amazing friend. Devin had a huge heart, and she would never intentionally hurt her children or anyone that she loved. She was an incredibly nurturing, giving, loving, and hilarious person. She was full of life and joy and would do anything to share that with those around her." He said, "I tried to hide what was going on for so long in order to protect her. But because of this tragedy that has happened in my family, I feel that now is the time to share the truth with all of you. She is the reason I have advocated so hard for those struggling with their mental health. I want her story to inspire people to reach out for help and not be afraid or hide from their illness. If you know someone with a mental illness, have compassion and empathy and know that they are not bad people. They are suffering. I want this to inspire change. I want California law to change to help people like me help others get the help they need. How can someone who is sick realize themselves that they need help? She wasn't well enough to realize how sick she really was, and she wasn't able to get the help for herself that she really needed. This shouldn't have to happen to other mothers or anyone for that matter. I'd have given anything to have the chance to hold her again. I'd give anything for my kids to have their mother back. I have comfort in knowing that she now has found freedom from her illness and she is finally at peace." He had filed for divorce for her in 2016, citing irreconcilable differences, and requested a domestic violence restraining order against her just a few hours before she was found dead in Bakersfield, California, in a hotel room. After a drug relapse last month, she sought treatment at Bakersfield Behavior Health Center. She moved into a sober living home until she checked out August 10th, a week before her body was discovered in a hotel room at the extended stay. The cause of death is pending toxicology results. His statement went on further, but it's mainly him professing his love to her and so
Yeah, that's very sad.
It's terrible. It's a tragedy. So I feel for him and the kids as well. It's just bad news. Disturbed frontman David Draiman has boldly stated that every single track on the band's upcoming album, Evolution, could be a hit. Speaking with Metal Hammer, Draiman proclaimed, "If I died after this record came out and this was the end of our legacy, I'd be okay with that. To me, this is our Black Album," which is a reference to Metallica's self-titled fifth album, which got a little more melodic and a little more successful. Draiman explained, "We've always used that as a goal. The record that literally every single track on it could be a hit, a record that breaks down doors, that opens up new opportunities to us, that helps you achieve true immortality as an artist." Evolution, by the way, Disturbed's seventh studio album, will arrive on October 19th. This is pretty cool, man. Alice in Chains has revealed that the band will play a secret show in its hometown of Seattle this Friday.
Wow.
And apparently 10 signed copies of the group's new disc called Rainier Fog are hidden across the city, and each CD contains 2 tickets to the mystery record release gig.
That's fun.
Isn't it? The band shared a map on Twitter of Seattle with the following message. It said, "We're performing in a secret location in Seattle on Friday. We're hiding 10 signed Rainier Fog CDs around the city as a ticket into the show for you and a guest. Keep an eye on our Instagram story for details on these 10 hidden locations. Check Instagram and Facebook for more information." So they're doing a little contest.
That is a cool idea.
Yeah, making a scavenger hunt out of it. The secret gig will cap a week of Alice-themed events in Seattle to celebrate Friday's release of Rainier Fog. Slash is composing and producing an original score for Universal Studios Hollywood's annual Halloween Horror Nights event. The score will be featured as part of a maze based on the original Universal Monsters, one of 9 labyrinths being offered for guests at the park this Halloween season. The maze will be based around the classic creatures that Universal put on film for the first time in the 1920s and 30s.
I'm scared!
Launching a genre and characters that remain iconic to the day. So Slash is composing a unique theme for each monster, including Dracula, the Wolfman, the Invisible Man, The Phantom of the Opera, Frankenstein's Monster, The Bride of Frankenstein, The Mummy, and others.
Wow, all the classics.
Yeah, Slash said, "As a fan of horror movies and of Halloween Horror Nights, I wanted to compose a score for the legions of infamous characters featured in the maze to elicit a greater sense of terror for the guests. In the end, the goal is to ultimately make the guests feel as if they are playing an integral role in a classic monster movie."
Oh, they included Nell.
By the way, Universal Studios, they still definitely wave the banner for those classic monsters.
They're wonderful.
You can see when you go to their park, at least in L.A., like all their parking garages, the different sections are named after Frankenstein and the Mummy and all those things.
Huge for Universal. Got them up and running. The whole purpose of that Tom Cruise Mummy movie was supposed to be the Dark Universe. It was going to be their answer to the Marvel franchise and DC franchise.
And bringing all these characters
back?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to follow through
with
that.
We'll see.
Yeah.
This is Slash's second score for Halloween Horror Nights after composing one for a 3D maze in 2014. The new event begins on Friday, September 14th. It'll run through the end of the Halloween season at Universal Studios Hollywood in Burbank, California. Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture has announced a special tribute to late Soundgarden singer Chris Cornell to celebrate the unveiling of his statue, which was commissioned by his widow, Vicky. A special Soundgarden performance filmed at the Wiltern in Los Angeles will be screened at the tribute event. The unveiling and screening will take place on Sunday, October 7th, and both are free and open to the public. And then one last story. Aerosmith singer Steven Tyler is taking Donald Trump to task once again for using Aerosmith songs at his rallies. On Tuesday, during his appearance at West Virginia's Charleston Civic Center, Aerosmith's Living on the Edge was blasted through the arena as the crowd filed in. Variety reported Tyler has in turn sent a cease and desist letter through his attorney.
Bing, bing, bong, bong.
To the White House. It's him singing along.
Yeah.
To the White House, accusing the president of willful infringement in broadcasting the song, which was written by Tyler, Joe Perry, and Mark Hudson, citing what's called the Lanham Act, which prohibits any false designation or misleading description or representation of fact likely to cause confusion as the affiliation, connection, or association of such person with another person. Tyler's attorney maintains that playing an Aerosmith song in a public arena gives the false impression that Tyler is endorsing Trump's presidency.
What the f*** is this?
Back in 2015, Trump and Tyler butted heads over the same issue when Aerosmith's Dream On was used at Trump rallies, in which Tyler formally pressed the campaign to stop using his songs as it violated his copyright.
Just general copyright rules dictate you can't do that.
You're not supposed to do it. BMI eventually squashed the issue by pulling the performance rights for the song. No word as to whether Tyler will demand the rights to Living on the Edge, which is administered through ASCAP, will also be pulled. So we'll see if that ends up happening. And that's what I have for you in music news this morning. We're going to take a break, and when we return, letter of the day, word of the week prize. We'll see if you're getting closer to winning that because we give it away tomorrow. And Pierre will be in the studio too. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
Today is Thursday. Preston and Steve program about ready to come to a close. Getting ready for some events on this very evening. If you got invites, you'll be seeing us at Harrah's Philadelphia for Kathy's Bitch Box Part 2 and our Zeta Eta Pi sorority. It's two events in one shot. Last time we did the Bitch Box event, it was a sorority event as well.
Yes, it was.
And it's great to get our... Great to get the girls together.
It's great for the girls to get together.
Mm-hmm. It's the greatest sorority that's ever existed.
I mean... We're having a fashion show tonight.
Yeah.
I know.
Come on.
So, come on, right?
Are you going to walk down the runway?
No, you know what? The girl who's organizing it all was like, hey, do you want to walk? I was like, no. Yeah. I mean, my outfit is going to be from her store, so. Yeah.
Mine too.
If you like it, just know that. But nice. No, I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to walk the runway.
What's the store? I'm sorry.
It's called Elsie Boutique, and it's in Warrington.
Okay.
Ah.
It's actually in the shopping center where one of the Buxco versus Delco questions came from.
Oh.
Oh.
You asked me what store was not in that shopping center.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Which was the Oxford Valley Mall, right?
No, it wasn't Oxford Valley Mall. It's the shops at...
I don't remember.
Yeah, like something, but it was... The answer was, I think, Abercrombie.
Do we have a walkway, a runway of sorts for this?
So there's a stage. We're just going to use the stage because we don't want to take up the room where everybody was kind of hanging out. We're going to have some high-top tables and, you know, people will be drinking, having some food and stuff like that. So we're just going to use the stage that's up front.
Okay. And then after we're done with that event, everybody's going to head over to Barnaby's in Havertown because Marissa will be there with your opportunity to maybe go along with us to England when we do the Miller Lite London Calling Green Legion trip to London for the Eagles' plan.
So exciting.
And Marissa will be at Barnaby's from 8 till 10. And stop in. You got to be present to win. And she'll also have some Eagles home game tickets to give away, too.
And I believe, Casey, you said you're going to stop by.
I will. I mean, it's like it's a Delco day for me and Marissa, man. Yeah. You know?
So that is all going on tonight, those events.
To Delco day.
Are taking place. Where is this? Oh, there it is.
Smoke some meth and...
So you can poke fun like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're not allowed to.
No, I'm not allowed to.
You neither, Kathy.
I'm definitely not allowed.
I want to thank our guests. We had Harris Maduyanin, who's from the Philadelphia Union, come by this morning. He's a nice guy.
Very nice guy.
You never peg him for a hothead, but he gets that way on the pitch, apparently. He had a red card suspension a little while back. But he was a super nice guy. And they are playing New England, the Philadelphia Union, on Saturday. And they're having this big sleepover event, too, where you can, camp out on the pitch. And they're going to show movies up on the big screen and everything, which is really cool. So,
what a unique experience.
Check out PhiladelphiaUnion.com. Yeah, exactly. Thank you to Ted McGinley.
Ted McGinley!
The movie Axel opens in theaters everywhere tomorrow. He was a super nice guy. And also, Bert Kreischer.
Yes!
His special is tomorrow. And it's called Secret Time. And it was filmed at the Trocadero in Philadelphia. And he says that there's a big surprise ending. And he said it's all Philly.
Love
it's just going to be a wonderful Philly moment.
Very excited.
Starts on Netflix tomorrow. So excited. How you doing, man?
Good. It's a birthday cake with you guys popping out of it.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I think it would be lovely.
With tassels on?
Yeah.
Out of nipples.
Yeah.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, today is supposed to be an absolutely gorgeous day today.
Lovely out.
Yeah.
At this moment. It's very nice.
Yeah.
So, high is like 79, something like
79
that.
79 and yeah. Sunny and low humidity.
See?
And it's finally what we've wanted.
This is what we need a lot more of this. Preston and I were very resolute about this. We need a lot more of this to make this summer come anywhere near acceptable.
Mm-hmm. You know, the bizarre nature of the imbalance of the weather on the west and east coast of the country is phenomenal. They're on fire on the west coast and up into Canada, and we haven't and have no rain, and they desperately need it. We have had too much rain,
yeah.
And if we could just get like control of the sprinkler system cosmically.
Run a few hoses.
Yeah. And just like kind of rewire. Can we get Rodney on that?
Sure.
Oh my God. Rodney
would
it.
Do it.
Rodney would get it fixed.
Why didn't we even think about that?
Well, that dude can fix everything.
Rodney fixing the weather.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, I want to jump in. I think I saw this via a Facebook alert. Is it Max's birthday today?
It is.
Max Walker?
Yes.
Yeah. Max, now a weekend disc jockey at WMMR. Whoa. Yeah. So I want to wish happy birthday to Max before we go.
Good for him, man. He's getting a lot of work.
He's a great guy. Today?
He's helped me with a few comedy bits.
Not seen him here today, no.
Tomorrow.
Okay, so
Robbie, the intern, looks like a guy in Cleopatra drag.
A guy in Cleopatra drag.
Yeah, he's wearing,
he's got his Philadelphia Union scarf on his head. So, Robbie's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's something else.
Hey, you ready for the letter, man?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do that.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
R as in return.
All right, and we have a two-hour axe-throwing experience for 10 people in the Philadelphia area's most extreme axe-throwing venue. It's called Chopper's Hatchet House.
This is the chopper!
In Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And you can visit choppershh.com for information. We give that prize away tomorrow. What is on today's show, man?
It will be fun. We've got blocks of Bruce today. We have a block of STP for Dean DeLeo's birthday, who... I think we haven't run the tape of this and Pancakes out this week, but backstage at the Emma Barbecue, Preston just cracked Dean DeLeo of STP up in such a large way, because when he was on with you guys, you weren't sure who was going to be on, and you said, well, which guys from STP are there? And he said...
Charles Nelson Reilly.
So Preston ingeniously found a Charles Nelson Reilly t-shirt and gave it to Dean, and he just couldn't get over that.
He loved it. Yeah.
Oh, he just loved that.
That's cool.
So it's his birthday today. We'll do a workforce block. We've got a block of The Who. Keith Moon, legendary drummer of The Who, would have been celebrating a birthday today, and we'll get to all of those, so it'll be fun.
Excellent. Let me thank the sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And, of course, our show runs on Dunkin', dear friends. Brought to you by Acme as well, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Tomorrow's a big day. Dan Soder will be in our studio.
Dan Soder. Yeah. Very funny.
And another great comedian, Ian Bagg, will be in our studio as well. So it's going to be a great way to end the work week. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. Maybe we'll see you tonight.
Yes.
It's Box Party. Bye-bye, gang.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Hey, this is a shout-out to the piece of that thought it'd be awesome to throw a golf ball out of his moving car window and hit me in the ass. I hope you enjoy having a microphallus driving around in that giant, ridiculous truck.
Next message.
I love MMR. I won two tickets way back in February to see Radiohead. And my God, not only were our seats amazing, the concert was amazing. And I got to take my wife for our anniversary. You guys rock.
Next message.
F*** you, Debbie, you miserable f***.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.